93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
And today is Wednesday, February 28th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, parents and students from Cherry Hill High School packed a school board meeting yesterday evening demanding answers regarding the suspension of a beloved teacher. We talked about this yesterday. Chaos erupted almost immediately after school board president Barry Dickinson announced that by law, the board is not allowed to speak about personal matters. Dickinson also said that nothing he has seen in the public domain is based on fact. The meeting came on the heels of a massive student walkout at the high school yesterday, staged in protest of the suspension of history teacher Timothy Locke. Students left class Tuesday morning, circled the school track, and marched out and around the boundaries of the school property. It was a strong response to the suspension of a beloved history teacher who voiced concerns last week about the lack of school security in the wake of the Florida massacre. Students say there are four security guards at Cherry Hill High School East, but none are armed. School principal Dennis Perry threatened to suspend students who attended the walkout Tuesday morning. That only applied to students who walked off of the school property. The district has not said how many students were involved in the protest, but the threats of sanctions for those involved appeared to be lifted late Tuesday.
When I originally saw the footage and the sound was down, I thought, man, this is the worst relay race I've ever seen.
Yeah, slow.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I was listening.
They're not even trying.
To a mother speak about this and what the kids were protesting, and she said that on a number of occasions, she's walked into the school, walked into the cafeteria to find her daughter for whatever reason, whether she was picking her up early or had to drop something off, and nobody ever stopped her.
No kidding. I've heard from different schools, different parents say similar things. A couple of my neighbors were together talking about it, and it's, you would think somebody would stop you.
Oh, yeah. Man. Our school's like Fort Knox.
Yeah,
good.
Going
too. Into,
good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, two secure. Well, the high school isn't, but they've got a security desk right there. You can't get past. You can't get into the school without going past.
Right. I just assumed all school doors were locked. My kids, you know, their doors are locked, and you have to press a button, and then there's a person there with the who can buzz you in.
Our grade school and middle school are that way, and yeah, there's a camera, and you walk up, and you stand there, and they'll buzz you in, and then to get into the office, they got to buzz you into there, or buzz you into the school general public area.
And if we get buzzed into the school, we have to show our driver's license first.
Yeah, we do too, and then they print up a little badge, and you put it on your
It's
deal.
The way it should be,
absolutely. But I guess not all schools are of that same standard. So.
Yeah. And high schools are a little different too, as well. So, I did hear that the superintendent said they're not going to make any like quick decisions. They stand by, I guess, their security policy. So, but my guess is that they're going to overlook that.
It's funny. Not to go on the soapbox, but nobody likes to make quick decisions. Nobody likes to, because then a lot of times they would admit that the former system didn't work
or wasn't
where it should have been, and they're embarrassed by that. And come on, man, eye on the ball.
Yeah.
Let's keep it safe.
Yeah, and there were at this meeting, there were a ton of kids that got up and spoke, too. So they're the ones that are speaking out about it. Three people were taken to the hospital after a letter was opened inside a building at Joint Base Meyer-Henderson Hall in Virginia. Arlington fire officials say 11 people began to fall ill after the envelope containing an unknown substance was opened in an administration building at around 3:30 on Tuesday. A spokeswoman for the base says people in the office on the Marine Corps side of the base said that as soon as the mail was opened, they began feeling poorly and complaining of sore throats. Personnel was evacuated from the building as a preventative measure, according to the U.S. Marines. Several Marines were among the people treated. After the evaluation of the 11 sickened victims, three were taken to the hospital in stable condition, officials say. Hazmat teams responded to the scene following the incident. The letter was removed and the building was screened and cleared, according to the base spokesperson. The FBI and NCIS are conducting a joint investigation on the incident. For a while, the foster care system in Philadelphia and the suburbs has been strained, and it's getting even worse as the opioid crisis continues and more children are being neglected. Almost 6,000 young people in Philadelphia live in foster care. Foster families are allowed to have six children in a home at a time, but state records show that Pennsylvania is allowing foster homes to exceed that number. That's because more and more children are being removed from homes due to their parents' addiction. From 2014 to 2016, capacity waivers went up nearly 50%.
Wow.
More foster kids means that there is a need for more loving foster families for these children. Two things are currently needed in the city of Philadelphia: more families to take in children and more money. And we'll have more details about something that's happening to help that later this week. In sports this morning.
Yeah!
snacks are yummy.
After winning 7 games in a row, the Sixers have now lost 2 straight. Dwayne Wade scored a season-high 27 points, including a jump shot to give Miami the lead with 5.9 seconds left. And the Heat rallied to beat the Sixers 102-101 last night in South Florida.
It was a rough end to a great game. It was a really great game. And for all intents and purposes, the Sixers should have won.
Yeah.
Just 2 gigantic mistakes within the last 30 seconds of the game.
And a 1-point loss.
And a 1-point loss.
They're on the road again tomorrow night with a nationally televised game in Cleveland against LeBron James and the Cavaliers. The Flyers are off until tomorrow night and for the moment are back in second place in the Metro Division after the Washington Capitals beat the Ottawa Senators last night in D.C. The Capitals have a game in hand and are 1 point better than the Flyers, who will be at home tomorrow night to play the Carolina Hurricanes. In football news, Papa John's is no longer the official pizza of the NFL. CEO Steve Ritchie said on the company's earnings conference call that the league and the company mutually decided it was in the best interest of Papa John's, which became the official pizza of the league in 2010, to give up the official designation. The brand is the first NFL sponsor to leave in the middle of its deal. 4 months ago, Papa John's founder, John Schnatter, who was CEO at the time, said players who staged protests during the national anthem hurt business. The company pulled the NFL shield off its commercials during the game broadcast and took the shield off its pizza boxes. But the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs, so we have that. And that's nice. What I have for you this morning.
Hey, by the way, Casey, you played basketball at the Sixers
complex yesterday. Yeah.
How'd you do? It was a media.
Yes,
it was like a round robin tournament. Yeah, Matt was there for just a little bit, and then he had to leave to go to a funeral. But it was just like,
I'm sorry, is that Quincy behind you in the Instagram?
That is Q behind us. Yeah, so I had to play against him, and you know, some other TV and dude, this Shari from 6ABC.
Yes,
she was guarding me in the very first game. I was like, dude, why are you playing defense so hard right now? Like. Just, you know, like, just let me get open. She was on me like
she was good,
stink,
huh?
Like stink on crew. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then
Shari Williams, right?
I think that's what her name is. But I was like, oh my gosh, I can't get open. And then finally, like, she was at, we didn't have any reserves, and they did. And she left the game. I was like, all right, I can breathe a little.
She moves. Now your metal arc comes out.
She's taller than you?
No. Okay. Same, but she's
just a better player.
For a ferocious defender. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, how did you guys win?
There were several games. We lost.
All 7.
No. I'm trying to think of how many. We were 1-2.
Oh, okay.
So we lost our first game, won our second one, lost our third one. I think that's how it went. Yeah.
This picture on your Instagram account is really, it's a good picture.
Yeah.
And the blue hair, it's the perfect shade of the Sixers blue, Casey.
That picture is very, very blue. You know, my hair, Matt's shirt, Quincy's shirt.
I love it, man. Yeah. Nice. Okay.
Oh, I saw Matt O'Donnell yesterday, too.
Did he play?
Yes.
Did he play with the Dame?
I'm sorry?
Does he play with a Dame?
He's not bad.
Okay.
Yeah, well, he's got really good hand-eye coordination, right. But we beat his team.
All right, there you go. Good to go. All right, just wanted to get an update on that. We welcome you to Wednesday morning, and since it is a Wednesday, we have a secret text word. Your chance to win some tickets to see Anthony Jeselnik's show number 2. It's going to be at the Fillmore, not till Sunday, June 3rd, but you'll have some plans for Sunday, June 3rd. How about that? If you win that. So text word secret to 39333. Listen for my squeaky microphone.
Yeah.
Which will tell you when to call in.
That's the cue?
That's the sounder. Yeah.
Listen to this.
It's crazy. We have,
it's
by the
driving
way,
driving me crazy.
Probably the best engineer in radio, Rodney Bird, and even he can't figure out how to stop that.
I know. All right. Anyway, so listen for the squeaky microphone or me to tell you to call in. Anyway, text word secret to 39333. You might win. We're going to go live on Fox. Good day this morning. And speaking of the Flyers, as you did in the sports report, Kathy, we will have Captain Claude Giroux on the program the first time since they settled into that first place spot in the division. So we'll talk to them. And they're playing tomorrow night, I believe, as you said. Carolina, they're going to be hosting. So and there was a charity event that Claude had last night, charity comedy event. So we'll talk to him about those things included. So we have that and a bunch more to get to. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. I have a stupid question for you and a bunch of entertainment stuff, including some more from Kevin Smith since he's in recovery from his heart attack. Get to those details and more when we get back.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I want to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Listen, we're headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 2nd for our 12th annual Preston Steve Cardboard Classic. Go to WMMR.com for details to register your sled to compete for cash and prizes. From WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first. Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers. Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Birthdays today, Wednesday, February 28th, and it is Allie Larter's birthday today.
Oh, love Allie Larter.
New Jersey girl. She's one of my dream gals, most definitely.
I didn't realize how statuesque she was. She's pretty tall.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Okay. I was watching Legally Blonde was making the rounds on some of the cable channels the other day, and she plays the woman that's on trial.
Right.
Stunningly beautiful. Because they have her all done up. She's like a fashion icon.
First time you saw her was in
Varsity Blues.
And then she also did the commercial for the body spray. Remember that?
No.
Yeah, she did a commercial for a body spray. That's the first time I saw her.
I gotta find
where she
out.
Had like a black bar. She appears to be nude, Preston, but okay. She's black bars floating in front of her. Yeah, check it online, Nick. You'll find it.
Did you mention she's from Jersey?
Yes.
I did, yeah. Okay. And she's celebrating her 42nd birthday today. Karolina Kurkova, she's a Czech supermodel and a Victoria's Secret angel.
Check, please.
She's 34. There was a Victoria's Secret Angels commercial that came on the other day.
Was it good?
It was really good.
You know, I
kind of brush off
I do too.
The Victoria's Secret models a little bit.
I think too emaciated.
This one was different. I don't know what it was.
I could work with this one.
I was like, who was that?
Could you leave the room for a second?
And they started cycling through all these beautiful women, and then it was, you know, it said Victoria's Secret. I'm like, oh, okay, well, there you go. I don't know if she was one of them in this particular commercial, but she's 34 today. Oddly enough, it was for lingerie.
So they're selling that now.
That's selling. Cool. Ray Dawn Chong, actress and daughter of Tommy Chong, is 57 years old today.
Commando was on.
Oh, my God.
I think it was last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
You got to love that movie.
You know what I hate,
And she's great as the stewardess.
Wait, no. It wasn't that. It was Predator, where he goes, stick around for no reason. I mean, like, he's
Arnold.
He spears a guy to the tree, and he just, stick around. I'm like, no. Maybe in, like, 1980, whatever it was, it was okay, but today does not hold water.
No, and that movie, Commando's full of them.
Just let off some steam.
Yeah.
I like you, Johnny. That's why I'll kill you last.
Yeah. So let's see, Radon Chong, and I believe Cheech and Chong are coming to town. I think I heard a commercial for that. Yeah. So she is 57 today. John Turturro, what a great actor. Movies like Do the Right Thing, Quiz Show, The Big Lebowski, Rounders, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Nominated for Transformers.
Yeah.
No.
Is he Mr. Deeds? Is he the...
He's Mr. Deeds with the black foot.
He's the butler.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And every time Sandler turns around, he's there.
Yep. He is 61 today. It's Gilbert Gottfried's birthday today. Mm-hmm. Gilbert, he's been on this show many times.
I love when he's on.
I know.
Some people hate him.
Yep.
I love him.
And you guys know, we've said it many times, it's like a switch when you turn the microphone on, because before he gets into that screaming persona that he has, he's a very demure, quiet guy.
Some tea, perhaps, and a bagel.
Yeah.
Microphone.
But
I saw a documentary that just recently came out on him that shows him with his wife and his kids and seeing Gilbert Gottfried at home ironing and playing with kids is a mind F.
Gotta be. So he's 63 today. Bernadette Peters. And a big birthday for her today. She's 70. I saw a clip of her on a talk show not too long ago for one of the late nighters, and I forgot who it was.
Colbert.
She looks phenomenal.
She's holding up.
And it doesn't look, if she's had some work done, it's fairly minimal, but she looks fantastic.
Well, good, man. And I always had a crush on her.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. This is from The Jerk.
They were together for a long time, Steve Martin and Bernadette Peters. Yeah.
This is actually a cute little moment in the movie.
Yep.
So, obviously, The Jerk was big for her, but Annie and...
The horny secretary in The Longest Yard.
You're right.
Yeah, she got that huge high hair.
Yeah. And it gets a nice mention in Deadpool.
Yes.
Remember, he's got a little change purse with Bernadette Peters on it. And apparently he would spank it all the time to Bernadette. So if we do have a chance to talk to her in the near future, we have to ask her about
that. Bring that up.
She's 70 today. Gavin McLeod. Steve?
Every freaking Sunday, I spend time with Gavin McLeod. Meryl Stubing aboard
the Love Boat.
Adam Fricker.
How many episodes were there? Because
it was on for years,
yeah,
and they kept changing it. And if you watch it now, you'll go through the point, Preston, where they brought on the mermaids. So it was their dance troupe with Terry Garr.
Oh my God!
It is so cheesy. So formulaic, and it's addictive.
The first season or so, they had a different guy who was the captain. Yeah, he was this real lovable, nice, easygoing, get-along-with guy. And then they brought in Gavin McLeod, and he was, at the beginning, he was kind of a hardline,
yes,
to-the-rules captain, and it changed the dynamic. But then you saw he had a fun, easygoing, softer side to him. Yeah.
Do you remember who the first to...
I'd have to look it up on IMDb. I have no idea.
I always thought it was him from the beginning. I had no idea.
Yeah, I remember when they replaced him. It might have been after just a few episodes.
By the way, if you watch that show now, the crew, all the crew does is bang the passenger. That's all they do. And in many cases, with our awareness these days, what they're doing aboard that ship is rape. They're doing it time and time again. Oh, it should have been called the rape ship.
Wow. So he's 87 years old today. Was that the first episode ever? No, it's episode 2.
All right.
Maybe I was wrong.
Maybe there was another guy at one point.
I don't know. Captain and the lady.
You got Scurvy and...
Scurvy and the crew?
Yeah.
All right.
Was there another character called Scurvy?
I don't know. I'll have to do a little research.
And that very first episode featured Meredith Baxter.
Really?
And Bonnie Franklin.
Oh, Preston, Scurvy was the character that took all the upskirts.
And Suzanne Summers.
And Suzanne Summers.
Jimmy Walker.
This is all the first episode. If you want to play a game when they start... Wow. I do it every Sunday with my wife. We try to guess... What old 70s star is going to be in the cast? So you had your Charos, you had your Burt Convies, and then they brought on Ted McGinley, who was Ace, the photographer.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, all right, and then let's see, two more quick birthdays. We got to move along. We spent a lot of time on birthdays. Mario Andretti, former auto racer, is celebrating his 78th birthday today. So,
legend.
Happy birthday to Mario Andretti. And it's Eric Lindros' birthday today.
Here we go.
Recently put into the Flyers Hall of Fame. They retired his jersey recently.
Yeah.
He was in the Hall of Fame a little while back.
That's true.
And celebrates his 45th birthday today. And Eric is a very nice guy.
Eric Lindros would be calling my phone.
We have to. In honor of his birthday.
Yeah. I have to apologize to Eric because we're kind of around the same age. So I don't know what it was, but I sort of fell in love with you a little bit in a totally gay way. you do that to guys, Eric.
You do it to dudes, man.
I don't know
what just happened here, but it was uncomfortable.
Jeez, these things happen. I've heard that other ones are going to happen. And,
jeez.
There are some ways to possibly... stay away from them occurring, but they will occur from time to time.
Here we go.
So you're in Toronto now?
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
We want you back here in Philly.
God bless you, Casey, for letting us play that. All right, he's 45. We got to get an answer to the stupid question. Who wrote the song that the Bengals made famous, Manic Monday? And I will go to John, see if we can get the answer. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hate to bother you at work, but I have an answer for
it's
you.
Okay. You do. So, John, who wrote Manic Monday?
That would be, you know him as Prince. I know him as Cymbal Man, but I'll call him Prince.
Cymbal Man. Yes. You are correct. Was he dating Susanna Hoffs?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, she's in the office.
All right, okay, John, I'm going to put you on hold. Thanks for calling, bub. We're going to get your information, and we are going to give you a four-pack of Greater Philadelphia Boat Show tickets. And you can find your summer fling at the Greater Philadelphia Boat Show March 9th through the 11th at the Expo Center in Oaks. Details at phillyboatshow.com. Maybe they did it. I'm not really sure, Steve.
I don't know. Yeah.
Quite possible. All right. I have a few things. We're going to start with this. Several extremely enthusiastic worlds collided on Tuesday in a shower of pink confetti and squeals as Mel B essentially blabbed on Tuesday's The Real that the Spice Girls are going to perform at Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's wedding on May 19th.
That's pretty wild.
Really?
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Because he met them when he was just a kid. He was like 13 years old, and they were huge at the time.
Remember they had the movie out and everything? Yeah. I went to go see the freaking movie with my niece.
The America's Got Talent judge was responding to co-host Lonnie Love's oh-so-innocent question about whether she knew anyone attending, and she said, well, it's the Five Spice Girls, and why am I so honest? So apparently she wasn't supposed to say something because they were making a big deal about her hinting towards that, and one of the other hosts had said, yes, they are performing. She said, Mel B didn't say it, but we did. And then Mel joked, I need to go, I'm going to be fired. So Kensington Palace would not comment, but judging from the evidence that the internet has dredged up, Harry has been a big fan of the Spice Girls for years, and they will be performing at the party, I would imagine.
Yeah, we have a picture up here. He was 13 years old with the crew. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so they're doing that. Ryan Seacrest appeared on ABC's Live with Kelly and Ryan Tuesday, and the show went on as normal. Despite the recent allegations of sexual misconduct against him by his former stylist, neither host addressed the allegations, which Seacrest previously denied. ABC also said that Seacrest will continue as host of the rebooted American Idol, which is slated to premiere on March 11th. So that's coming up pretty quick. E! Is also standing by Seacrest and plans to have him host the red carpet at the Oscars as scheduled. The allegations were divulged in graphic detail in Variety on Monday by his former stylist, Susie Hardy, who claims that he grabbed her genitals and did a few other things. But E!'s investigation was extremely thorough. Spokesperson for E! Says, over the course of a two-month process, our outside counsel interviewed more than two dozen people regarding the allegations, including multiple separate meetings with the claimant and all firsthand witnesses that she provided. The investigator is an attorney with nearly 20 years experience and is highly regarded professionally. Any claims that question the legitimacy of this investigation are completely baseless. So they said they went through it and nothing.
And what Seacrest is suggesting is that there are points in time at which she tried to contact him to say, if you just pay me this amount, this can go away.
Yeah, so he had issued a comment, issuing a strong denial about it. And he had said yesterday, Variety published a salacious story that revealed the specific claims against me for the first time, even though an independent third-party investigator found insufficient evidence to support the claim. Much to my dismay, Variety didn't speak with me or bother to speak with other credible witnesses or even ask for any of the evidence that was obtained during the investigation when offered.
Don't you think they would have done that?
Yeah,
don't you think you'd ask Seacrest himself?
Usually they will call and, hey, we have an opportunity for you to comment or to rebut, but they didn't, so they just wanted to get her side of things. He said, all of which clearly challenged the veracity of the claims made against me. So he's saying no dice, you know, so that's something to consider as well. Absolutely. Kevin Smith, I think we have some audio that I'll play here in a second, recorded a Facebook Live video from the hospital yesterday detailing what it was like to, quote, read his own eulogy, face fat shaming, and stand up for Chris Pratt's prayers in the wake of his near fatal heart attack. He was in surprisingly good spirits. He's making jokes, he recorded the live stream.
You'd have no idea watching the video. You'd have no idea that he came that close to death.
So I'll go through some of this stuff. I started to watch. It's like a 20-minute video. I got about 10 minutes in, and I had to come and start doing the show.
Of course, though, it's Kevin Smith. You know, whatever answer he gives is going to be a long one.
He said, my biggest fear in life, death, number one. Number two, people seeing my D. He said, and this was,
he's not kidding.
It was a big deal.
Oh, his D and his belly.
The doctors, he explained, had to reach his left anterior descending artery, his LAD, through his groin area, which required his groin to be shaved. He said, I've gone out of my way my whole life
to not let anybody to not let my D be effing seen. He said, never wanted to go to a hospital or a doctor for that very reason. Don't want to be judged. Obviously small, he says. Yeah. He said he was able to hold his shirt over him as a modesty rag. That's what he called it, a modesty rag. And then the procedure ended up saving his life, of course. They found that the LAD was 100% blocked. Now, in the video, he goes through the whole storyline of how he started feeling and what the events were that led him going to the hospital. But he said they found that the LAD was 100% blocked. The medical team put a stent in and bam, here I am. Dude literally saved my life. He was grateful for the outpouring of support that he received after his heart attack and said that it gave him a new outlook on life. He said it was kind of like reading your eulogy. He said, I saw what life will be like if I die, what the reaction would be if I die, and it was very sweet. So reading all these things.
That has to be. I've always wondered that. We all wonder.
Sure.
What would be the reaction if we were to pass? At a certain point, you want to hope that you did something good that made people like you or at least, you know, they were glad you were here for a while.
So he actually got a taste
of that. He got a taste of that.
Because of all the well wishes from people. Smith wasn't amused by those who criticized Chris Pratt, one of his favorite actors, for sending him prayers via Twitter. He said Pratt put up a nice piece, a nice tweet there, and he was just like, hey, man, I don't know you that much, but I'm praying for you. And apparently some people were like, F your prayers, and attacked him. He said, please don't fight over stuff like that. He said, that's a waste of time.
Yeah, he's right.
And some people
guys trying to be good natured and send some love to him.
I didn't even put it in entertainment news yesterday because I just thought it wasn't even worth. Shut up. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, there's an attack against thoughts and prayers.
But I read a long why it's different than that.
Yes.
I mean,
well, listen,
you can actually do something about certain things, and this is nothing you can do about it. It's just offering well wishes. So I was just like, whatever. But he himself said, don't. It's a waste of time. This is a waste of everybody's time.
And by the way, for many people who give thoughts and are legitimately giving prayers, that is doing something. So, and that was his point.
You know what? Actually, Anthony Jeselnik has a really good take on thoughts and prayers. And in some instances, thoughts and prayers is just a way for somebody to say, and this is not me saying, this is what Anthony Jeselnik says, it's a way of people saying, don't forget about me. Don't forget about how I feel and how sad I am in the wake of this tragedy.
We talked about that. It's hashtagging. And for those people who are hashtagging that dismissive, it doesn't have the same gravitas as someone who means it. Chris Pratt means it.
Yeah. But when somebody, you know, passed away or has a heart attack and you say, you know, I'm praying for you, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nope. Smith also said people told him that he shouldn't expect a heart attack, that he should have expected a heart attack because of his weight. Referencing a 2010 incident when Southwest Airlines removed him from a flight for being overweight. He said, I lost about 85 to 90 pounds since then.
Wow.
He said, I went through lifestyle changes and some S doesn't matter. Some you just can't beat because it's genetic. Now that Smith has experienced what it was like to believe that he was going to die and survive the ordeal, he says that he has a zest for life.
He had a pretty good zest for life before.
He said, but even if it were his time to go, he said while holding back tears that it would have been okay, too. And I'm going to play, the two clips here.
For you. The first clip is
parts. Yeah, I listened to it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I had a heart attack, a massive heart attack, and very nearly died Sunday night. I was doing two shows, and after the first show, I started feeling nauseous. I was like, hey, man, I'll just lay down for a bit. So I just thought, like, you know, I got some bad milk. I was trying to sit up. I was just trying to breathe. It was tough to catch my breath. So finally, I said to him, I was just like, do me a favor. Maybe we should call a doctor. So the paramedics came.
And they got him, and then this is him talking a little bit more about afterwards and what it was like to go through that.
You know, I started going like, this could be it. And so I thought about my life. But I had a good long moment to think and thought about, like, you know, my parents and how they raised me and my brother and my sister and my friends and my wife and my kid and my, like, this weird, wonderful career that I've had for so long and stuff. And I was, like, content. Like, it was weird. I don't know how to say it. I didn't want to die. Don't get me wrong. But I was like, well, if the ferryman comes tonight, I got to pay him. Like, what a ride it's been.
Yep, yep. So he had a chance to take stock of it right then and there.
And you always talk about these people who say, well, in a way it was a gift. It probably is a gift for him. He got to see things that a lot of people don't see. He got to realize that his life is on a good trajectory and maybe perhaps adjust to his lifestyle a bit more.
Yep. You watch Walking Dead on yet?
No.
Okay.
But
We'll talk.
Okay. Right. It has to do with Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith has a heart attack in this episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let me see. How about this? Jimmy Kimmel has had one hell of a year after revealing last May that his son Billy was born with a genetic heart disease requiring multiple surgeries. He shared his sorrow and joy as Billy thrived with a rapt audience. Now, Ellen DeGeneres had another good surprise for him, though, in store when she appeared on the show Tuesday. She said, we called our friends at Children's Hospital L.A., and we have named one of the rooms of the Heart Institute floor in honor of Billy.
Oh, that's nice.
As a DeGeneres showed footage of the room with a sign saying, in honor of Billy Kimmel, Kimmel broke into tears and started ugly crying all over the place.
How many people you think are going to go up and go, it's Jimmy?
Right, right, exactly. You got that wrong.
It's Jimmy Kimmel.
I love this. 30 years after meeting on the set of Three Amigos, the duo, Steve Martin and Martin Short, have announced that they are reuniting on Netflix later this year.
No way.
And listen for the title of this. Steve Martin and Martin Short, An Evening You Will Forget for the Rest of Your Life.
Did you see the promo that runs for
it? I haven't watched it yet.
So no. They're talking about they've hired the best in the business, the crew and the camera people and so on and so forth. But the shot is framed so that all you see is their eyes and above and the whole theater is in the shot. It's completely poorly composed.
I love it.
I love Steve Martin, but I love
Martin Short.
Martin Short. I mean, any movie he is in, like, it could be the dumbest movie, and I just crack up. I think he's so funny.
This is great.
I love this movie.
I do, too. Dear
little buttercup. You know, Steve Martin was here in Philly a couple of weeks ago. He did an event.
I know. We tried desperately to get him
by. Pretty hard on it. And he's at the Man with Martin Short August 30th.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to go to that. But Steve Martin, who is absolutely one of the funniest men on earth, loses it. Martin Short cracks him up. That's how funny Martin Short is.
Oh, yeah?
So Steve Martin's go-to laugh, if you watch him whenever, you know, the character that Martin Short does called Jiminy Glick,
yes,
who's this Hollywood oafish reporter,
yep.
He's done interviews with Steve Martin a number of times, and Steve Martin will lose it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. They've been touring together for a few years and recorded the special in Greenville, South Carolina, so that will be coming out on Netflix later on this year. At the L.A. premiere of A Wrinkle in Time Monday night, Oprah Winfrey opened up about her initial reaction to Donald Trump's tweet calling her insecure and characterizing her 60-minute story about the partisan nature of this country as biased and slanted. She told Vanity Fair, let me say this about being recently attacked on Twitter. She said, when people say things about you that are unkind or not true, it's hurtful. It's no different for me than anybody else. Some people may try to fix the situation head on and say something back, but it only escalates. And I believe if you put out negativity in the world, it comes back. So I don't respond to anybody saying something that is negative. But when the president of the United States criticizes you, it did make me think for a second, was he right? Was there anything valid there? So I went back and I looked at the tape and I didn't feel that there was.
She issued a formal statement.
Oral anal sex.
Oh. She is so cool in her responses.
Yeah, man. And it's cryptic, but those who know her.
No, I don't mean that. I mean this legitimate response. She is so cool, it's crazy. Charlize Theron used to like to greet the day with a bit of green. She says, I was a wake and baker for most of my life. The 42-year-old actress tells E! News, she says, things changed at one point, though. I really appreciated marijuana way more than alcohol or anything else. She said, my chemistry, I was really good with it when I was younger, and then it just changed one day. Like, in my early 30s, I just became boring on it, and I would just stand in front of my fridge, so that's no good.
You know what turned it around for? She found a huge gorilla in the jungle.
Wow.
And who became basically her best friend.
Did they make a documentary about that?
They did.
Yeah. I remember that.
Mighty Joseph Young.
Right.
I'll tell you this. She had probably more shots of her in public. There's a shot of her with an apple that's turned into a like a pot.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you would call that iteration of a pot pipe. Okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's caught a number of times toking up.
She hasn't sworn off weed forever, though. She said, I'm open to retrying it again because now there's all these different strains and you can be specific with it. She said, and I'm actually really interested because I have really bad insomnia and I'd much rather get off sleeping pills and figure out a strain that helps me sleep better. So when I have a moment, I'm actually doing that with my mom. My mom has really bad sleep, too.
There's an article, I forget where I just saw it, but it talks about the nature of pot these days and how dramatically more powerful it is than it ever was before.
It can be. It can also be mild, too. They really have control over these strains.
It's kind of like, you know, with like beer, right? So they made these beers that had, like, you know, big-time alcohol levels. And now, and they've taken that same beer, like IPAs and stuff like that, and they've turned them into session IPAs.
All right.
Yeah.
Something for everyone.
Yep, exactly. This is cool. Danny DeVito, actor and producer, set to be honored at the L.A. Italia Fest on March 2nd. He will not only receive the Jack Valenti Los Angeles Italia Legend Award, but will also nab one of Italy's highest civic honors at the ceremony, becoming a Grand Officer of the Order of Merit of the Italian Republic.
Holy hell!
Wow. Yeah.
That's a title. Will he be wearing his M&M costume?
I don't know. He said, I'm honored to receive the 2018 Jack Valenti... wait a minute, I lost my
whatever that
Jack,
is.
Jack Valenti Legend Award. DeVito said in a statement, I knew Jack well and admired him not only as a wonderful person, but also as a world-class inspirational leader who throughout his years at the helm of the MPAA earned respect for our motion picture industry throughout the world. The Golden Globe and Emmy Award-winning DeVito has appeared, of course, in several classic films, including One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Terms of Endearment, Romancing the Stone, plus landmark TV shows like Taxi and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So he's getting
good for him.
That's a big award for him. Very cool.
It's also the longest award I've ever heard in my life.
I know. It does have a bit of a title to it. And let's do one more story. On a tour of St. Thomas Hospital in London Tuesday, the pregnant Kate Middleton confessed that her husband, Prince William, may not quite be ready for what's to come. She said, I was...
just didn't see that one coming. Farts are funny.
She said, I was... she said, I was saying, congratulations, best of luck with the third one. She said, Williams is in denial. And said Jamie Parsons, the father of a 10-month-old receiving care at the hospital. Middleton was at the hospital promoting a Nursing Now global campaign aimed at raising the profile and status of nurses around the world. This is their third one? Is that?
Yes. Third kid.
I don't know why I missed the other one.
It's a little girl.
Yeah. There's Potsy, Ralph. And then the third one is going to be a girl.
The Fonz.
Yeah, the Fonz.
The campaign means a lot to me personally.
Wouldn't that be great if there was a President Fonzie?
That'd be awesome.
I mean, King Fonzie.
And she said, my great-grandmother and grandmother were both volunteer nurses, and they would have learned firsthand from working with the Voluntary Aid Detachment and the Red Cross about the care and compassion that sometimes only nurses can provide.
We were just talking about nurses yesterday and the people they treat occasionally feeling them up.
Yep, it does happen. So, all right, let's hit the clips here.
Mm. Do you know what the clips are? Or?
I do have them, yes. No mystery clips today.
Damn it.
In the action-packed thriller Goldstone, Indigenous Detective Jay Swan arrives in the frontier town on a missing persons inquiry. And what seems like a simple light-duty investigation opens a web of crime and corruption. In this clip, Jackie Weaver explains how she prepared for her part as the lead villain. Here it is.
My career was in on stage, and I've been in about 80 plays, and I've played a lot of villains. One of the things you learn at drama school is if you're playing a villain, try not to judge them. Right. Try and see the best of them, or otherwise you're just going to... It'll be like a cartoon villain.
I don't think I want to see it.
Was she the mom in Silver Linings Playbook?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know she was Australian.
I didn't either.
Is this about the origins of the ice cream place?
What ice cream place?
That's Cold Stone.
No, this is Goldstone.
They're rivals.
Okay.
I thought that'd be a great product tie-in.
Stone. Who would be the villain in
I took Cold all your Stone. Gummy bears. You cannot put them in your sundae. Were you a fan of Cold Stone?
I love
Are you a fan? They're still around, right?
Yeah, they're still around. They're great.
I would never really go. I just would, if I happened to be in a mall and wanted some ice cream, and I'd be like, oh, there's a Cold Stone.
It's
Let
a
me go
cake
over there.
Place for us. We'll do ice cream cakes.
Okay. All right.
And it's not like a Carvel ice cream cake, which is damn good, too.
Yeah.
It's like cake, like actual cake, like yellow cake and ice cream.
It is fairly pricey at Cold Stone, though, right?
Yes,
well,
it is.
Okay. For the process, I think, of the... as with the smoothie places or the yogurt places.
That's right, Casey was
what's
there,
your right? the place?
Well, we went to Menchie's twice this weekend. Thank God it was closed.
Casey is left with an incredible conundrum at home because his kids adore this place. And you
love
think
it.
It's high price, but it
is high price.
Yeah, but it's good quality stuff.
Well, yeah, it's frozen yogurt that you throw gummy bears on.
All right, let's go to the next clip. MTV's Winter Break Hunter Mountain movies moves the party from the beach to the mountains and documents the lives of 8 young people who ski, snowboard, and party.
What a life!
In this clip, cast member Alessandra Camerlingo explains what makes this reality show different than the others.
You know, I feel like with some other shows, it plays on a lot of stereotypes. And with us, it's not really as much of a stereotype as just 8 really strong, different personalities that just kind of clash when we're all put in a house together in a cabin in the woods.
Shut the f*** up!
Nick just pulled up the cast. Of course, they're all really hot.
Except for that guy.
Except for that guy.
There's always one guy who's sort of the chunk of the group. Right.
Yeah.
So I can really talk to you, you know, because I'm not sexually attracted to you.
Yeah. No, they're all pretty good looking. Yeah. Anyway, Winter Break, Hunter Mountain airs Tuesdays at 10:30 p.m. on MTV. So there you go. And that's what I have for you in this morning's entertainment report. Claude Giroux is going to be on the show today. I said our Flyers were in first place earlier. They're not because they lost last night.
No.
No, they did not.
No, Capitals the Caps won last night.
I'm sorry. The Caps won last night. So that edges out. Sorry about that. We play tomorrow night. They're hosting Carolina.
But they're in stellar position.
Yes. Yeah. They're hot right now.
Yeah.
And they have a game in hand, as they like to say in the NHL. So they win tomorrow night. They're back in first.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Had a big thing happen in the Elliott household this week, and I would like to extend a very big congratulations to my number one son, Parker, who is now an official Pennsylvania licensed driver.
Whoa!
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep, he got his driver's license. And you know what's funny is the thing that he is most... The thing that he is most excited about is not getting out on the open road or leaving whenever he wants to or going over to his friends. The thing he is most excited about is that now he solely has control of the radio, in the car.
Wow.
Well, that is a rule.
He's like, now I get to do whatever I want. That is the rule.
That is the rule.
You're the driver.
Yeah.
You're in charge of the entertainment system. No question.
So that's proper protocol. I think he's off to a good start. Do you... how long do you wait before you start using him as your errand boy?
Oh, today.
Yeah.
Because this is really why you have kids, isn't it?
Oh, God, yes.
When you really want that mint chocolate chip on a Wednesday night.
Yeah. Or we start... We start inviting him to, when we're going over our friend's house where we know we'll be getting hammered. Hey, why don't you come on over with us? They've got a video game system you can play. Guess who gets to drive home?
Steve, from my family, because I was the oldest of 3 brothers. It was practices. It was, taking my brothers to soccer practice and band practice and whatever else.
I see that for all you guys, I mean, for you, everybody, that's got to be so you can immediately shear that off
your
schedule.
Like today, they both of my sons who go to Souderton Area High School together, they're freshman and junior, respectively, and they both have an after-school club, which we would have to go pick them up. And listen, there's stuff that we got to do as well in conjunction. So now... have to worry about that. He's going to get him home.
And the thing is that for that brief glory period, they're excited to run errands for you.
Yes.
I'll
do it. It's even like, you guys need anything?
Tampons? Yeah. Mom, do you need tampons? I'll go get them.
I vividly remember the day I got my license because I failed the first time. And then the second, and I believe I was with my sister, second time with my dad. And so I pass. I'm like, yay. And then I'm driving home, and my dad, we get to my house. He goes, here, just drop me off out front. And I'm like, and he gets out of the car. He goes, all right, have fun. I was like,
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That day.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God. Where do I go? I just went to my buddy John's house. I'm like, hey.
It added a whole new level to the running away club.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now I can go states away.
Uh-huh.
So there are restrictions now. He can't drive after 11 p.m. unless there's another licensed driver.
Unless he's drinking.
Or I'm sorry, someone over 18 who is a licensed driver. No, not unless he's drinking.
That's the state rule, not yours.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. And he can't have, there can't be more than one other passenger in the car with him unless they're, I think, over 18 or something like that. There's a rule against, you know, piling five teenagers in the car and driving around.
To be honest, I think that's a very lucid way to approach it, because I remember when I was a kid, I was a teenager, and everybody got their license, you'd have these circus clown cars jammed with teenagers.
And it distracts your driver.
Yeah, it does.
What's called the junior license, right? And then you turn 18 and you get a senior license.
Yeah.
Were you experiencing nervousness, anxiety at all?
No. You know, as far as teaching him to drive?
No, just the allowing him to go out on his own.
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
So it's probably going to happen today because he just got it.
Okay.
So,
have you had your Subaru commercial moment yet where, turn around?
Actually, we got a Subaru.
Nice.
Yeah. So thank you to Matt Ritter.
Yeah.
Pointing me in the right direction.
Is he driving to school today?
Yes.
Oh,
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my question. That was a big deal. Like, for you, when you got your license to then be able to drive to school, that was like, no more bus.
By the way, you got to buy a parking spot. Did you know that?
Yeah.
When I went to school, it was every man for himself.
Wait, I never drove to school. I never had the opportunity to drive to school.
All the way through senior year, you rode a bus? Never.
Actually, I always walked, and I got at that point, I was walking.
Yeah.
I got so used to walking that's what I did.
I mean,
And the lot was so stinking spotty, man. My senior class, my graduating class, was like 11, 1,200 kids.
That's a lot.
So there were no lots.
Yeah.
Forget that.
But, Press, is it an actual parking spot? Like, he's spot number 205? Or
the chance to get into the lot?
That I don't know.
Okay.
That
would be cool.
I know that right now he has a chance to rent a spot. It's $1 a day. But there, he's like in the lot that is the furthest away from the school.
Yeah. So as you walk in and throw the keys to the guy?
I don't know,
Shine that if you would.
That'd be awesome.
We kind of had like public parking, but then to park in the lot, you had to have a parking spot. Like for some reason, you had to they had to give it to you.
That had to be. I remember when my friend got to do it, and I would go with him occasionally. He'd pick me up as we were going to school. That moment when you pull in your car. You're an adult into the parking lot. Holy crap!
It's pretty cool.
Did you do it all the time?
Yeah. I drove the moment I had the opportunity to.
Yeah.
But no anxiety or nerves about him being behind the wheel.
Just a smidge, not a whole lot. He's a good driver.
He's very conscientious. He seems to be.
But here's the deal, and you guys all know you know what the rules are and the way you're supposed to drive according to the law and so forth. And that pretty much goes out the window once you're out on your own and in the real world. So, you know, right now he's stopping before the white line at stop signs. And I'm like, bud, you got to pull all the way up so you can see cars coming from either direction. So he's got to learn these things, you know.
But you all along have been showing him sort of the practical side of things. I contend that if people simply follow the rules of the road, far less accidents would occur. But there's some gray areas.
Here's a gray area, by the way. If you pull up to a two-way stop, so it's a four-way intersection.
Yes.
But there's only two stop signs. So the cross traffic has it right away. Okay. So there's two cars. All right, let me try to explain the situation. You're going to go straight.
Yeah.
But the car in front of you is going to turn to their left, coming across your path, okay? And let's say that the left turner got there first. And the straight person got there, saying by that
not
I don't
the
mean
gay
heterosexual.
Person.
No.
Not the gay guy making the left turn.
Got there second. And I've always assumed that the person going straight has the right of way.
No.
No, whoever gets there first.
If you both get there at the same time, the person going straight has the right of way.
The person going straight has the right of way.
Right.
But the person going straight usually has a better opportunity to go across than the person turning left because they don't have to get in line with moving traffic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I
don't know.
I dealt with this as well, but it was clarified to me years ago. If you're going straight, you'll have the right of way. The person, if you both get there at the same time, but whoever gets there first has the right of way.
You know what, Preston, though? I mean, you know, because you've been driving for a while. It doesn't matter.
You can get there. You can get there first and still wave the guy on.
Though by state law, you do have the right to follow the guy who cuts out ahead of you, chase him home, and beat him up.
Well,
state
I'll tell
law.
You what. Yeah. My neighborhood. When you pull into my neighborhood, there's a a four way. It's not even a four way stop sign. It's just a it's a T intersection.
Right.
And there are three stop signs. But when you're pulling, when you're coming into the neighborhood, you're the only one who doesn't have a stop sign. And there are people. You know, because I have to like make a left, and there are people that are coming straight that should know that I don't have a stop sign that will just blatantly blow their stop sign, and I'm like, yeah.
Well, they're lonely.
But I get like really frustrated because, and I'm like, I got to remember that car,
sure,
and I'm gonna find
sure.
out where you live, and I'm gonna tell you that I have the right of way always.
Right, but you can trust. You can never trust that the other driver knows the rules of the road. Yeah,
yep. Casey, why'd you fail the first time around when you took a driver's license?
Because when you pull in to
a school play yard,
you turn in, you turn into the driving test area, and then you got to pull into a spot.
Yeah,
and you're supposed to be like 12 inches away from that curb, and I was like 2 feet away from the curb or something like that. And
it's not quite parallel parking, right?
Yeah.
I did that too.
We didn't have parallel parking.
Yeah.
When, yeah.
I had it on one test, but not on the second one. There was,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was like the big
By
thing.
By the way, parallel parking, you don't do that, you don't pass a test.
My sister-in-law
That's what
is
I found out.
In her 40s and she still can't parallel park.
And it's the first thing they make you do in this particular test that he took. You got to pull in and parallel park. It's the first thing.
Because if you can't, you're out.
Yeah. It was my money shot. You know, like I unbuckled and unzipped and did the, no, I was ready. So that's the final.
Yeah.
That's how the importance they place on the parallel parking. I think that might start to go away as the car can park itself. But still, I think you need to know how to effectively parallel park.
Most definitely.
I set up my little brother's, the red and yellow car. Remember the, the kid's car that they were playing? I was set that up in the street with a trash can in the front and that car in the back. And I practiced because I was like, I'm going one time. I don't want to fail. Like, I want to pass the first time. And I practiced with the trash can and the little play car.
And you passed?
I passed, yeah.
Yeah, I failed my first time too, Casey. And it was the parallel park and I hit the curb. And so, as soon as that happened, it didn't matter what you did the rest of the test.
Did you not practice enough?
I did. I was nervous.
Okay.
By the way, listen, nerves can really take a hold of you because regardless of how rehearsed you are with all the different things, you're there. And if you get, honestly, if you get someone who's not the most likable test administrator, that can throw you off.
Remember, nerves got to Greg Brady when he hit the cone.
Absolutely. Knocked the egg over.
Came off, yeah. Nerves
and stupidity. And maybe I told you guys this story one time.
You were drinking, right?
No. It's not me.
You want a beer?
Yeah.
You want a beer?
I was so nervous. I did six or seven shots.
I'm a wreck if I don't have something to drink.
No. So number one kid academically in our class, Angelo Kwan, got a scholarship to go to Duke University. We convinced him that during driving, if you pulled up to the stop sign and it had the white trim around the edge of the stop sign, it was optional.
Oh, no. And he believed
it? And he believed it.
Oh,
and he blew right through the stop sign.
No.
And the guy
looks
at him.
Oh, this is a trick stop sign.
No. All my friends, they all told me it was optional.
It had the white borders, sir.
It had the white. They
what
all,
are you talking about?
Yes. Oh, my God.
They all have the white borders.
So my buddy Kevin, he listens right now. He's in Clearwater, Florida. I drove him to get his license because I was a year older than he is, and he went to Island Avenue. So in this area, to go, I don't know how it is now, but back then, if you wanted to get your driver's exam done at Island Avenue, you had to get there at like 6 in the morning, and you had to get in line that early, and the DMV didn't open until like 9 or 10. So we waited for hours and hours, and we were almost ready to go, and he was like, I got to go to the bathroom. So I'm like, well, just pee into this bottle, right? So it's a Gatorade bottle. So he turns around into his seat to pee in the bottle, and he knocks his rearview mirror off of the windshield. Right? And at this point, we've been in line for 4 hours
and
or something like that.
That's a car that cannot be used for a test now.
So there's a 7-Eleven across the street. I booked it as fast as I could. I was a little lighter then.
Yeah.
Booked it as fast as I could, grabbed some crazy glue, ran back to the car. And, I mean, it's like counting down. There's 30 seconds, and then so we're crazy gluing this little mirror to the windshield, and he crazy glues, I crap you not, his finger to the windshield.
Oh, my God.
And he had to, I mean, he had to rip his finger off of the windshield. There was still a finger on his windshield.
Imagine him trying to take the test with him leaving the finger up on the windshield. I'm sorry.
I'm just motioning to other drivers as a sign of, well, both your hands should be on the wheel.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go to some of these driver test calls in a second. But real quick, going back to the parking spot, I have one of Parker's teachers. This is Mr. Tucker, who's on the line. Hey, Adam, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. So what's the story with the parking spots around the school?
So the parking spots, you have to pay for them, and they are reserved.
Oh, so you get a number, and that's yours.
You got it, yeah.
That's because, pretty awesome.
Yeah, see, all the teachers have numbers as well. Yeah. So, like, you know, just to alleviate confusion and, you know, nobody gets a ticket and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So, and I also wanted to throw my congratulations out to Parker. He was so proud of himself yesterday flashing that thing. He was showing me, he was showing the students and band, so it was really cool to see that. So, nice. I mean, that's awesome. Also, one tip for him.
Yep.
Tell him to stop at every stop sign coming into this school because I almost got hit 3 times.
No kidding. All right.
Run a few now and then.
You got it, Adam. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. All right, we'll see you later. Yeah, by the way, he's 17. He waited. Yeah. He wasn't in a big hurry to get his license, which I find a lot of teenagers these days.
Man.
Me, 16th birthday. Boom.
Oh, I got my learner's
Take
permit.
Take me there, man.
You could get the permit at 15 and a half. I don't think you can do that anymore.
You got to get it at 16.
Okay, yeah. But you could not drive on your own. There were all sorts of restrictions involved. But at 15 and a half, you could have a learner's permit, drive with somebody that had a senior license, like a parent or whatever.
I think it's cool. I think it gives you a little bit more time and there's
raise a family.
Right. Yeah. Now, but a 16-year-old behind the wheel, it does give you concerns. I mean,
honestly, think of yourself now when you were 16. Oh, would you have given yourself a license?
No.
No.
And I wrecked cars, man. I got in accidents.
And don't you have to have your permit now for like a year? We didn't have to do that, right?
Correct.
6 months. Yeah.
6 months?
Yeah.
I remember, likewise, Preston, I wanted it. I wanted to get that car. I wanted to get out and get my freedom. Like, it's when you get your bicycle, it's like that same thing except on steroids. Now you have a car. Yeah, I mean, you can be scared crapless a little bit, but that sense of freedom that you're going to get is so awesome.
Uh-huh. I wasn't allowed to get my license until I was able to afford my own insurance.
Okay.
And that's so, cool. And that was.
Did you get a discount for any classes with insurance?
I didn't take any classes, though.
We had to take a mandatory, it wasn't mandatory. There was an optional class in high school, and if you took it and you got a B or better, you got 10% off your car insurance.
High school offered the same thing. I didn't take the class, though.
Highway Hook, man. That was the teacher.
So I got years before my kids are going to be driving any cars, but there are just a few roads around my house that I want to definitely make sure that I am with them in the car when they drive that road for the first, second,
to negotiate it. Yep.
Well, because
they're roads that adults have trouble with.
Yeah, just windy roads. And
when I took my driver's test, the actual practical test, the Motor Vehicle Bureau was in an industrial park. So you're taking your...
Was that helpful or not?
It was sort of weird because I was used to practicing on real active streets, you know, so it seemed weird, but
Parker took his test at Northmontco Technical Career Center. It's a tech school.
All right.
And they offer driving courses there. So what you do is you pay for the driving course and it's like six classes. They're each an hour long. And then the instructors there actually give you your driving test. They're licensed to give you your test. So you get to do it on the course that you've already worked on. And it gives you a little bit of an advantage, I think. And they teach you safety tips and driving.
As is Jay Turn.
Yes.
We're going to work on that.
We'll do that in the vet.
I would love to get somebody like a 17-year-old girl in the car and actually just, you know, punk her by having the driver's test administered, ask for a J-turn.
Let me go to, hang on, I have a call from Keith on the line. Hi, Keith, good morning.
Hey, what's up? You guys rock.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. So you failed the test, but it wasn't your driver's test. It was your CDL test?
Yeah, so I used to work for this well-known water company. And when part of the deal was they give you their truck to take the test in.
Right.
So I went to the place, and when the instructor gets in the truck with me, the first thing he says, not like, you know, ask me any questions. He says, oh, I almost got a job here. I said, oh, that's pretty neat, you know? And he's like, oh, yeah, they didn't hire me. And I was like, oh, well, you know,
I'm sorry to hear that, I guess. And then we went through the test. We did the entire thing. It's kind of like a regular driver's test, but we had to drive through a residential neighborhood, and we got back, and everything was fine. He had nothing to say. And then right before we go in, he says, you know what? I'm going to fail you because you didn't stop at one of the stop signs. And I was like, I'm pretty sure you're being very egregious right now. That did not happen. We had a little disagreement. He wasn't able to point out the stop sign. And I'm hearing that they kind of do that on purpose sometimes. They hold little grievances against people.
So do you have any place or is there, do you have any recourse? Can you challenge the tester? I would assume not, right? Because then everybody and their brother would contest the results of their test.
Yeah, especially with the CDL. Once they tell you, you fail, you're done.
And then how long sometimes before you can take the test again, Keith?
It's only like 2 or 3 weeks, I think. Yeah, but with the company I was with, they get really annoyed if you fail.
Well,
it doesn't look good.
I'm sure, you don't want failed drivers to driving your product around.
So you think the guy had something against you?
Maybe not me personally. I think I'm a pretty nice guy, but
he was having a bad day.
Pretty disgruntled, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, have a great life, water boy!
Yeah, he didn't get the job. Thanks, Keith.
Can you take a driver's test with like a GoPro on you now or no?
Like a body camera?
You perhaps. Know, when my dad, at some point or another, I think this is when we moved away for a few years, and then we moved back away from Missouri, and then we moved back to Missouri. I think he had to take the test again. And he failed because he was so accustomed to driving in the real world and not being tested.
Yes.
That he crossed the white line at every single stop sign he came to. Yeah.
Because, honestly.
And they told him that. They were like, you went over every single one of them.
The real world will teach you some things. And there are reasons that they want you to be as fastidious as possible. The amount of people who dismiss using their turn signals is disgraceful. But, you learn things.
Well, the most confusing thing to a new driver, which I am taking him through the paces of, is the left on red. So
that's hard.
It's hard to do.
Yeah.
And so, I'm like, okay, pull out in the middle of the intersection. Just trust me on this, okay?
It requires trust.
I'm like, wait. And then the light turns yellow, and I'm like, get ready. And it turns red, and I'm like, go. And technically it's illegal, but in high traffic volume.
Is it illegal?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We
yes.
talked about this one day. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
It's illegal.
Because you're not technically supposed to pull out past that line to make a left-hand turn.
God almighty.
Yeah, because I got a lot of emails that day that we talked about it. And then in the converse, we were waiting, and we got a green arrow, and he starts to go, and there were still cars coming through. I'm like, hold it.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're doing the thing that I told you about right there. That's you got to watch out for it as well.
I don't want to get into a what pisses me off about drivers things, but the people who take off before the light turns green.
Yeah.
What's that? The Pittsburgh
platter.
That's where you crap on someone's chest. I got that confused. I'm sorry.
That's a Cleveland steamer. Pittsburgh platter is when there's a table. A glass table.
You're right.
Thank you, guys.
I got to go back to the
That DMV. Was the question I was asking. Thank you.
Hang on. I want to go.
All right, now pull over. Time for the Dizzy Gillespie. All right, here's we have a toilet in the back seat. I'm going to eat a sandwich. You know what to do.
I have Mark, who is on the phone. Hey, what's up, Mark? How you doing, man?
Hey, you guys rock. I love your program.
Oh, thanks,
bud. All right, what did you want to tell us about a special course?
Yeah, so there's a special course out there for teenagers. It's called Street Survival. Street Survival is a course that helps teenagers stay alive on the road. The statistics are really bad for teenagers in driving. So Street Survival is run by the Sports Car Club of America, SCCA, and BMW and Bridgestone Tires. So you go for a whole day. It's about $75. I'll give you one example. Montgomery County Community College. You'll be able to get there with a race car driver on the parking lot course.
Okay.
Go through all kinds of car control stunts and things like that. So you can learn how to handle your car in a difficult situation.
No kidding. So dangerous stuff that you normally wouldn't mess with.
It's not really dangerous. I mean, you're in a controlled situation.
Sure.
Pretty much a race car driver in the seat with you. And they put you on the skid pad. They get a fire truck there. They take a bottle of liquid soap, hose it down in a circle skid pad, and you learn oversteer, understeer your car, doing weird things. And
well, that's pretty comprehensive.
By the time you're done, you're probably
a 100% better driver than when you went there. So all my kids went through it twice.
Okay. I mean, your average kid does not know how to drive a hot car. So
no, that's wrong. But,
One thing is
that's when you put cellophane on someone's face.
Oh, and oh my god,
that's different.
I owe an apology to the DMV. Wow.
Mark, that's interesting. Street survival course. I will look into that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, streetsurvival.com. You know, take care. I love your program.
Thank you. I kind of like that idea. Yeah. With your dad, Preston, you talked about coming down and having to take his license test again. When I was here officially in PA, I had to do that as well. Mm. And I grabbed all the wrong paperwork. I was going for my truck driver's license. <I'm> like,
what?
Why do you have to know this?
Welcome to the world of interstate trucking.
I'm like, what? Wow. This wasn't on the other test.
Nice. All right. Well, anyhow, good luck if you've got a teenager that you are teaching to drive. I actually kind of enjoyed it. And I'm already starting with flirting with teaching my younger son to drive too, even though technically I'm not allowed to.
Does he have the physical license?
No, that comes later. But what they did is they took the permit and they embossed it.
Yeah.
Or made an impression on it that's an official seal that says he's a licensed driver.
You should give him tips from Casey on how to take a photo.
Oh wow. You're right. He's got long hair. He's got a lot he could do with it.
Oh, my God. There's so much he could do.
Mm. Okay. All right. We'll think about that.
93.3 WMMR and Victory Brewing Company presents Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic Friday, March 2nd at Jack Frost Mountain. Think you can build a sled to conquer the tubing hill and make the finish line? Or maybe it'll fall apart but look cool enough to score a prize. Get your sled registered now at WMMR.com. $1,000 cash prize for best design. Beer for a year for best victory sled. And $500 for the fastest. Plus, get in a full day on the slopes with the $9.33 lift ticket special. Available through February 28th at noon. But only while supplies last. So get them before they're gone at WMMR.com. Cap off the day at our Victory Homegrown Happy Hour with Victory Brewing Company. Brewers of your new American Lager. It's Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Here comes the music.
Okay, President C, we found this survey that says that women actually like a man who cries. This is according to EliteSingles.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dating site. 95% of women prefer a man who is open about his emotions. 97% say they find that men crying is either... it's strong, it's natural, and it's healthy. Do you believe it?
Preston?
It depends on the situation. I mean, are we talking like right after sex that you're crying? During sex, you're crying?
It hurts.
I don't think that's what they're talking about.
Or begging for sex.
Would you please? You didn't think it was going to take this kind of a turn, did you guys?
You asked the wrong question.
Kathy, do you like it or not?
You know what? I would say a crier, not so much, but a sensitive man, somebody who does show their emotion a little bit, sure.
You know what,
but
though?
Isn't that a thin line?
There is a thin line. And I think, Kathy, perhaps you would back up this other survey that I saw. I think it was out like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think it was in the UK, but basically that women still like a take charge kind of guy who's self-possessed and is not prone to start crying all the time, but at a certain level. There's a line, Alex. I think you're right.
I think you could be both, and I think it's at the right moments.
Right.
To be honest,
Mike cries every day on the show.
It's beautiful.
I got to admit I'm a crier.
Do you cry during, for example, there's a scene in the movie, a couple of scenes in the movie Glory. I will tear up. I will start welling up and cry. I think that's appropriate. If you're waiting in line at the smoothie place, it's probably a little too much.
If you would like to actually see me like blubber, the movie Inside Out, it's an animated movie. It's a Pixar movie. And I have a daughter. And she's, 10 years old, and I will cry. I mean,
if you bring up my daughters, you'll cry instantly.
Really?
I've already cried on the show today. We had a teenage girl reminded me of my daughter, so I cried when she walked into the studio.
So, Alex, would you say that I assume you think that speaks volumes about what a good dad Mike is?
Yes, I right? do. I do.
All right.
I think it just shows that he does have emotions.
Just real Who quickly knew? Here, guys. We got to run here. But I cried the first time I saw Casey Boy's hair.
Oh. Because it reminded you of the Blue Mountains of Kentucky.
Yes.
I think I looked on your Instagram, Casey Boy, and I was like, ooh, he's giving like the Blue Steel look.
Yeah. It's getting better. It's with every wash, it kind of lightens up and gets brighter.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Really? Can we see him? Oh, yeah. Okay, now.
There you go.
Ooh, look at that.
Mm-hmm. Someone's turned
and he's wearing
on.
Blue. Yeah. I wonder if he used to wear blue every day now.
In fact, he's blue all over. Even every bar. Every
all right.
Okay. Every bit of body hair.
Yeah. Okay, we're moving on.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, all right. guys.
We'll see you later,
it's
guys.
The last day of
all right. By the way, stop with the Smurf jokes. Smurfs didn't have hair.
You get a lot of Smurf
they
jokes?
Had, they had white hats, and the only Smurfs that had hair were Papa Smurf, and his hair was white.
Yeah.
And Smurfette's hair was blonde.
Yeah.
So,
are you getting a lot of Smurf stuff?
People say it, and I'm like, it's dumb. The Smurfs don't have blue hair.
Okay.
Little yeah. kids come up and say it, and then you just swat them away.
Shut up. The kids love it.
Yeah.
The adults,
of course they do.
The
what would be a good blue hair?
Maybe Beast from okay. X-Men or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Joy like from Inside Out.
There you go.
Ooh.
That's another one. She had blue hair. Exactly.
You're a girl.
I had mentioned at the top here, Cardboard Classic is on Friday. I have a detailed forecast for Blakeslee, which is officially where Jack Frost is, and this is from weather.gov.
Sunny.
Would you like to hear it? No, not
Please.
Sunny. But let me give you a Thursday and Thursday night and Friday.
Please, these are the okay. this is the critical buildup.
We had a lengthy discussion about this yesterday, and the consensus to people who are participating with sleds in the event that rain or shine, no matter how bad, we should go forward with it. And if technologically possible, by that I mean if our equipment can handle a full on monsoon, we'll try and go forward.
We're going to go for it. Yes.
All right, so. Thursday, rain, mainly after 1 p.m., high near 52, light and variable wind becoming east 5 to 10 miles per hour in the morning. Chance of precipitation is 80%. New precipitation amounts between a tenth and quarter of an inch possible. So that's a decent amount of rain right there. Thursday night, rain before 3 a.m., then rain, snow, and sleet between 3 and 4 a.m., then rain and snow after 4 a.m. So we'll be getting there around that time. It's going to be raining and snowing. Low around 34, east wind 8 to 11 miles per hour, becoming north after midnight. Chance of precipitation is 100%.
Oh, good.
New snow and sleet accumulation of less than half an inch possible. So we might have some fresh snow or sleet that morning.
So it's shifting a little bit.
Friday, it says snow. High near 37. Breezy with a northwest wind 13 to 20 miles an hour. It's going to be windy. With gusts as high as 37 miles per hour.
Oh, boy. Yikes.
Yeah. Chance of precipitation is 80%. New snow accumulation on Friday, but this would be through the course of the day, 2 to 4 inches. We might be getting 2 to 4 inches on Friday.
So
if we could just make that about 12 hours earlier,
yeah.
So in the, it would be absolutely
perfect. But you never know. Maybe
it could shift. You're exactly right. So right now in the sweet spot, the actual Cardboard Classic, if we really stay rigid, which we try to do, we try to end the show exactly at 10, get out and get things going between 10:30 and 11. We're going to try to shoot for as close to 10:30 as we can. Does it give you that time?
The closest to that you're going to get is 4 a.m. After 4 a.m., rain and snow.
Okay.
So it's one or the other. I mean, it's saying it's a mix of both, which means it'll be one or the other. And new snow and sleet accumulation of less than half an inch possible. So we could get some fresh snow.
And this is all part of that nor'easter, right?
Yes.
Is it a nor'easter?
It is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I believe so.
All right. So anyhow, it's up in the air. You never know, man. We could get some fresh
Thanks to the explosion of Mount Pinatubo and the destruction of villages just below, skiing's never been better. I'll tell you this. Things do shift. They're constantly shifting. As Kathy points out, if it does shift a little bit earlier, Preston, maybe we get more of that snow.
Well, a couple of days ago, they were calling for just rain, and now they're calling for snow and rain. So that sounds like that's heading in the right direction.
I'm going to be loaded for bear. I'm going to have rain gear and, kind of hybrid rain, snow gear ready to go.
Yep, me too.
Tough it out.
All right, so we'll find out. And
I want to cry.
Tomorrow, you can because you're a sensitive man.
I'm a sensitive man.
We will get to...
I never wipe my tears away. I'm not ashamed of them. I wear them proudly. Like small, wet... salty badges of emotional truth.
That's Steve's motto.
That is my motto. In fact, it's tattooed. I have a tramp stamp that says that.
So we will tomorrow get another detailed forecast, and we'll find out if that. I think tomorrow we should know.
We're playing it by year.
Yeah. By year?
Yeah. Yes, we are.
And we have the latitude to do that because we get French benefits.
But they keep them in the luggage plane.
Yes.
All right. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you by Victory Brewing Company. If you are headed up for the Cardboard Classic,
I am.
Tomorrow, join Victory Brewing at Shenanigans and enjoy their homegrown lager, Forefront IPA, and Golden Monkey. Party starts at 7:30. Music by The Mighty Three at 9 p.m. So there's a party the night before, as always, at the Cardboard Classic. All right, last Thursday, it's a bit of a lengthy story, but I was mesmerized by it. Last Thursday, a man seen floating down the Petticoatiac River on an ice floe had safely reached shore despite having repeatedly refused to grab ropes thrown to him by rescue workers.
So he's on an ice floe. People are trying to rescue him. He's saying no. Is he dressed for the weather? Is he?
Well, let me give you the details. The floe eventually got close enough to shore that he could jump off. He was greeted by paramedics who wanted to check on his condition and by Royal Canadian Mounted Police officers who wanted to know just what in the heck was going on dat dare ice floe. Turns out that he was trying to escape. Okay? And he decided to use an ice floe as his means of escape.
Escaping from prison, we assume?
On Friday, police identified the man as Mike Delahunt, who is infamous in the area of New Brunswick for having assaulted people who asked him to stop golfing in a public park.
What?
Follow me along in the story. Delahunt seems to have stayed out of the spotlight after serving his sentence for those incidents, which took place in 2013. But that ended last week when he allegedly fled from the scene of a domestic violence incident and for whatever reason made floating down the river on a chunk of ice a part of his escape attempt. So let's go back to the golf assaults for a second.
All right.
Delahunt apparently enjoyed whacking golf balls around in Victoria Park, a downtown park that is just a block wide and does not look remotely suitable for any club other than a putter. Residents had been complaining for weeks about Delahunt's golfing when Fred Liedmeyer approached him and he was objecting. Well, it was after his wife nearly got hit by a golf ball. At the end of that interaction, Liedmeyer had a broken arm and a missing tooth. Delahunt later pleaded guilty to that assault and to making death threats against another guy who complained and was sentenced to 2 years of house arrest and probation. That might have been a little light, especially given these new allegations. Police said that they responded on Thursday morning to a domestic violence complaint by an unidentified woman, but found her assailant had fled. A police dog led them to the riverbank, but the trail ended there. Shortly thereafter, a man was spotted on a large piece of ice floating down the river, and police decided that that was probably their suspect. We have a picture of the guy.
This is a big, filthy piece of ice. He's standing there like an imbecile.
But it's not that big. I mean, no. it's like he could easily fall off of this, and the river is huge.
Like a raft.
Yeah. He, having survived the experience, Delahunt was charged with 6 crimes, including assault and breach of probation, which may mean he hadn't entirely finished serving his sentence for the golf-related violence.
Violent golfer who rides ice floes down the river.
But the ice floe didn't help him get away like he thought it would. Love it. Doing stupid things can have some big consequences. As one boy in China found out, surveillance camera footage captured footage of the boy peeing on the buttons inside of an elevator while taking it alone on Friday. So afterwards, the elevator appeared to short circuit, the buttons lit up red, and the whole thing stopped moving. So he
got trapped in the elevator because he shorted out the equipment
from pissing on the buttons.
Thought he's going to be a smartass.
He was able to get out shortly thereafter and did not sustain any injuries. And obviously, they're trying to find out why he went about doing that. This story comes from the Philly Voice and our former intern Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig wrote this for Morgan Boyle. It wouldn't normally be a surprise to wake up in a Lyft ride, dropping him off on Girard Avenue at a location not far from his Fishtown apartment. Normally, however, the 36-year-old hadn't started the night hours earlier visiting friends in New York City. And that's exactly what Boyle said happened to him in the wee morning hours on Sunday. He said, "Holy S, we're back here in Philadelphia." once he made the realization that he had just spent a couple $100 on a Lyft ride and unintentionally traveled home all the way from Brooklyn. And I'll explain how this happened. Saturday night, he had driven to New York to go out with some buddies. and they went to see some friends who were DJing at a place called the Museum of Sex.
Okay, sounds good.
As the night went on, they found themselves out and about in Brooklyn. Eventually, the group decided to reconvene at an apartment only a few blocks away. While most of them walked there, Boyle and his friend opted instead to get a lift because it was raining. And as soon as they got in the car, which is 6:30 in the morning, by the way, they passed out cold.
The Museum of Sex was just closing at that time, I assume.
Boyle told Philly Voice, if I stop moving at a certain hour of the night, I just fall asleep. What happened between pickup and drop-off isn't completely clear to Boyle because, well, he and his friend were passed out. What he does adamantly stand by is that he initially picked the correct Brooklyn address when he called the Lyft. He theorizes that he accidentally bumped or touched his phone while asleep or butt dial of sorts, causing the Lyft to redirect to a spot that had previously been taken to.
Oh my God. And
it was in Philadelphia.
Wow. And then you had a Lyft driver who was prepared to drive to Philadelphia.
By the time Boyle and his friend came to, it was 8:30 in the morning. It was still raining, but something was off. They hadn't made it back to their friend's place. Instead, they were near the corner of 7th and Girard.
That's great.
The driver wished him goodbye before Boyle really understood what had happened. So there he was, unintentionally, back home with a $243 Lyft bill to boot. And I guess his car was still up in New York.
Yeah, the guy that he was in the Lyft with was the guy that lived in New York. So the two of them ended up in Philly, had to go back to New York. The one guy went home, the other guy got his car, and then drove back to Philly again.
Oh, my God.
I'm not sure the exact reason, but Lyft did credit him back his money.
Oh, really?
Well, that's pretty cool. Well, they're also trying to compete against Uber.
Well, in the story, he was contesting it, so I guess they listened to what he had to say.
Yeah.
So what would a train ticket run you from
Philly to New York?
Yeah.
Like $90, $100.
Yeah. Right. A lot cheaper than a $243 Lyft ride. Boyle said it was an interesting end to the night, and he seemed to have a bit of a sense of humor about the whole thing. So that's hilarious.
Good story.
Yep. All right. And that's what I have for you in the Bizarre File.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Real quick, I got an email. I'm going to send this guy a shout out because he did a nice thing. He says, Dear Captain Blackfingers.
That's you.
I am a daily podcaster from Cincinnati, and I just hit the 10-year mark of listening to your show. Yes, 10 years, man. Wow. 10.
10 years, man. 10.
The best part of me briefly living in New Jersey was discovering you guys and falling in love with your city as well. Anyway, I am about a week behind on a podcast now, so I was writing you from the past. I have heard you mention the new Ted Bundy film a few times and wanted to let you know that I just finished working a bit on that film. I wrapped yesterday at 3 a.m. after finishing up 70 hours over the past 5 days. I am playing a Miami sheriff deputy in the film. No speaking lines, just background work, but it was a lot of fun. I got to escort Bundy while in custody and guard the courtroom during his trial. So that's Jared Leto and Jim Parsons and a
Zac
few
Efron,
others.
Right?
Or I'm sorry, who did I say?
You said Jared Leto.
I'm sorry, Zac Efron, yes. And said, this is the sixth or seventh movie that I've done over the past 4 years, but should be the one that I get the most screen time in. I got film scenes with John Malkovich, Jim Parsons, Zac Efron, and Lily Collins. And your show is such a part of me that it's almost like you filmed scenes with those people as well. So congratulations.
It was a pleasure to work with Zac Efron.
Wasn't it great, though, man? And hopefully you guys will get some new podcasters out of it because I tend to mention you guys quite a bit during small talk on the set. I've attached a photo below that Zach had shared online that shows me in the background. I'm circled Bing Bing Bong Bong, he said. and he said, sincerely anonymous. I know his real name, but he didn't want me to mention it on air, and I'm not going to show you the picture. We're not going to post it online either way, but that was cool of him. So I wanted to send a shout out and thank him for spreading the word of the Preston and Steve Show, which is cool. And then here's another one. It says, hey, Preston, I have a problem. It's my 40th wedding anniversary on Friday, and I didn't get my husband a gift. But good news, we'll be at the Cardboard Classic, rain or shine. So if you could give a shout out for our happy 40th anniversary to Chuck and Missy, you'll save the day and be a hero. Thanks, bunches. And that is from Melissa Stoll, who got in touch. So a shout out to them. I didn't know if she met on the day of the Cardboard Classic or not. So,
well, she's caught short without a gift. Does she have a mouth?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
You can always give that great gift
of the mouth.
Yes, you can. Let me see. And I think one last. This is a butt plug.
Oh, okay.
And this is from Travis, who emailed me to let me know about. I'm sorry. Hang on just a second.
Do we get caught with our Bridgetown?
No, no, no. I didn't. But there's a lot of information here.
You want the song?
Can we read
through it?
Play the song and you can review the...
Oh, the butt plug.
Yes.
Yeah, we could do that.
Sure.
Kind of kill some time.
Yeah, that'd be cool. This is our charity plug moment here, so let's set it up. Yep.
Butt plug. Here's some butt plugs loaded up with deets and info, man. Charities can email us and we'll do what we can with a butt plug. Yeah!
So Travis wrote in about an event that's called the Ainsley's Angels Race, which is coming up. It's going to be on May 12th. It's a little ways off, but you can get registered now at Pembroke Parkway Complex in North Wales. And what it is, so this is in the name of a girl who is, her name's Ainsley, diagnosed just before her fourth birthday, which was called infantile neuroaxonal dystrophy. I probably messed that up, but causes slow global paralysis. And her father took her on her first jog in 2008 for a road race and apparently was just blown away by how happy she was to go out running with him. And so they want to, basically they're promoting the positive therapeutic means to fight the challenges of this and to get kids out. So it's a race where people also push kids in their, you know, immobility units.
Phenomenal.
Strollers or whatever you will, and they run with them. They run the race together. So you have, essentially it's like a chariot race, but one of the kids rides along and somebody else runs.
Yeah, we're looking at a video of it.
And pushes them along, yeah.
Looks great.
It looks great, doesn't it? So the Southeastern PA chapter has been given the privilege to hold a race of their own, and it's called Ainsley's Angels, and you can go to ainsleysangels.org/race-series. And Nick, do you have the information?
I don't, so hand it to me when you're done reading it.
We'll put that up on PrestonandSteve.com. So there's a pusher and a rider. So that's really cool. So that event's coming up in May. So just wanted to give you a heads up on that. Let me give you that, Nick.
There you go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And while we have a second, actually, if you wouldn't mind, I got official word yesterday that I'm going to be doing a stair climb in May, and it's to benefit the PA Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And there's a new building in West Philadelphia. It's called, or relatively new, it's called the FMC building. I think it's 46 flights, and I'm going to attempt to climb all of those flights of stairs. But it benefits PALLS. My nephew, Luke, has leukemia. He's battling it. He's doing well, but leukemia is an awful thing. And but the great thing about it is there's this sense of community surrounding anybody that's affected by this disease. So more information is going to be coming soon. But
when is it?
It's going to be... It's the same day as the MMRBQ, Steve.
Oh, my God. So you're doing that in the morning and then the barbecue.
Yeah, but you know what? You guys did walk a mile in her shoes a few years ago the same day. And yes, it's a challenge, but I think it'll be a great pairing. Because
a team or?
It's going to be Team Luke. Team Luke / Team WMMR, much like when you do the PA Ride to Shore case. And
Tour to Shore.
And so anyway, Steve, like it's going to be that in the morning, and we're going to work hard, and then we're going to celebrate at the MMRBQ later that day. So
we'll be pushing you around in a mobility.
Yeah, right? But more information is coming soon, and we'll post all of it up on the website.
Very, very good. Claude was supposed to have called in by now, right?
Just texted.
And what did he say?
Go to hell.
Yeah. Who is
two
this?
2 minutes.
Oh, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then I was going to go on to something else to kill some time, but 2 minutes,
Let's start a real slight topic.
Okay. Well, you know what? I did want to bring up, because you were talking about the chariot race, for lack of better terms. There is a team, it's Preston and Steve, and they ride in the Tour de Shore, and they are going to be running in the Boston Marathon. And I don't know when the Boston Marathon is.
Early April, usually.
Is it early April? Yeah. So
it's Team Preston and Steve?
Yeah. And wow. So the guy who rides in the wheelchair, and then Steve is he's the marathoner.
So the kid in the wheelchair is Preston. Their names are Preston.
Their names are Preston.
Wow.
And
I love
Steve.
That.
Yeah. And so I believe they're going to come in the next month or so to talk about their training and everything that they're doing. It's really, really cool.
Monday, April 16th, Case.
Okay.
Best kind of charity is a charity someone does for you.
Well, maybe they'll participate in the Ainsley's Angel thing, or maybe they've done
That'd
it before.
Cool.
So, interesting. All right, he's on the line, ready to go. I had a charity event last night. Our buddy Steve Ranazzisi was actually the one of the featured performers. But let's get him on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, the Flyers have had a wonderful last couple of weeks, and it's awesome at this this point in the season to have that going on. But we're going to welcome our friend and the captain of the team. Hey, everybody. It's Claude Giroux.
Hey.
Good morning, G.
Well, hi, guys.
Hey, how you
What's
doing, man?
On?
Oh,
good, good.
Excellent.
Playing.
Yeah, yeah. So, listen, you had your event last night. How did that go?
It went great. The guys were hilarious. People had a great time. Couldn't have it better.
Yeah, Steve Ranazzisi is very funny. I don't know who else was on the bill. I'm trying to see here. What's it? Chris
Rauch.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, very funny. So, good. I mean, so are you a comedy aficionado yourself?
Yeah, I like to go to comedy events at night and kind of laugh. And I don't know, it's when you go there, you have a mentality that you're going to have a good time and laugh. And it's pretty funny. And I really like Steve. You know, I kind of watch The League all seven seasons, and it's a funny TV show, so I kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah, and Chris is on Kevin Can Wait.
Yeah. Also, he's a great guy too, and I had a chance to meet those two guys before they went on. They went on, and just really good guys.
I think you should do stand up. I think that'd be really cool. just the pentameter would be great. No, that's cool, man.
I have to go on stage to, like, say a few words and all. The first, before I went for about 10 minutes, I had never been this stressed in my life, and it's not something I'm very comfortable with.
You know what, though? Even in spite of that, you came up when we were receiving an award. You came and spoke and did a little thing for us, and we can't thank you enough for that, because I know it's not what your thing is. So for you to get up on stage and do that means a lot. And, of course, that shows you how much the charity means to you that you would support it this way.
Yeah, of course. But, like, it was pretty easy with you guys. You guys gave me a paper. You said, just read that.
You know, we're great, all that stuff. Humanitarians. Yeah.
Hey, Claude, how did you do in your fantasy football league this year, by the way?
Oh, not good. Not good. I didn't make the playoffs. I was very, very upset. I got a lot of heat. But, I don't know. There was nothing positive about it.
Nothing positive about it.
Who won the whole thing?
Michael Raffel, and he—it's actually his first year looking, watching football. He's from Austria. So
you let a European win?
He had Tom Brady. Like, he had a perfect team. He had no idea what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Claude, we haven't had a chance to chat with you since the Super Bowl, and you know, I've seen a lot of different athletes in Philadelphia talk about how what it meant to them, and you know, how cool it was to see the parade, and sort of being maybe inspired is the right word, I'm not sure, but you know, I don't think it's entirely a coincidence that the Flyers have done so well since the Eagles won the Super Bowl. I also know that you guys were playing well before that too, but it's, I don't know, it's just got to be fun to be in a town where one team won the championship, and then to see you guys do as well as you've done lately and maybe hopefully follow suit.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in Philly for about 10 years now, and I was lucky enough to be here when the Phillies won, and that was pretty crazy, and then this was just another level. You know, we watched the Super Bowl, the whole team together, and when they won, we decided to go on Broad Street and kind of enjoy it with the fans and just see how passionate the fans are about the sports here. And there's just a motivation that we kind of want a piece of that too. So, you know, the Sixers are playing great too, and you know, Philly sports is just on a high right now.
We had a moment. It was like a week or two ago where we were all here and like, do you think it's possible that there could be another? Could we have a year with two parades? Do you yourself go that down that road? Do you consider that, or is that putting a cart way before a horse, and that's too much stress on you?
No, I think it's good to think like that. You know, in life, you got to put some goals in front of you, and you got to try to reach them. So,
right now,
we're playing some good hockey. Like, we're aware we're a young team, but at the same time, like, we're going to challenge ourselves here, and we're just having fun playing right now, and everything's going our way, and we have a really tight group, so we're going to enjoy this.
Love it.
One of the things I love about hockey is sometimes a team can get hot. And by that, I don't mean attractive.
Yeah.
I mean, no, but I mean, they can, something can happen. You guys are probably playing what you feel is the same way, but all of a sudden something can click and boom, it can turn around. And the next thing you know, you got a contender on your hands. I would think, Claude, I've zero, experience to say this, but sometimes does it just happen? It just for one reason or another, it just happens and you get hot.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you look at the year we went to the Cup in 2010. We got him last game of the season. We were eighth place. We just snuck in, and we got hot. Obviously, we were an older team, but at the same time, we just got hot, and our confidence was there at the right time, and we're able to kind of make it happen a little bit.
Yeah.
And now you guys have a young team, and you're getting a lot of production out of the youth on your squad. Can you talk about those guys?
Yeah, I mean, Nolan Patrick, you know, it's crazy to think he's 19 years old and he can do the things he's doing right now. And then Travis Konecny, he's playing great too. And, Oscar Lindblom played four games for us and he's just getting better every game. So it's really exciting to see those young guys coming up.
You mentioned Konecny, and he had a move in the 3-on-3 overtime the other night that was sick. And he deked two guys to get open and get a shot, and it clanked off the post. If it had gone in, it would have been the move and goal of the year, but it just clanked off the post and missed it. Were you watching from the bench when that happened?
Yeah, I just got off. I was dead tired, and I saw that move, and I just started shaking my head. And when the overtime comes, that kid gets pretty excited, and he kind of does his thing, and he's fun to watch.
Hey, can you talk about Hextall and the role that he has had in the success of the team over the last, last 3 months or so?
Yeah, I think when we were at 10-game losing streak, you know, it's hard to find positives, but, we stuck together. We kind of kept working on our game. Coaches were positive, and then we ended up winning six in a row, and then everything came back to normal. So just for the coaching staff and all the players to kind of stick together with when you lose 10 in a row, sometimes you see guys' true colors there when it's not going your way, and we kind of stuck together there.
Yeah, but during the course of a game, because I think I probably understand football more so than hockey, as far as like the the ins and outs and the inner workings of and what a coach actually does during the game. What does Dave do during the game that really, dictates the outcome?
Well, I would say more before the game. You know, we pre-scout the team we're going to play, and we see what we can do better, and we just work our game every day. You know, we look at a lot of video, and you know what, guys pay attention, and when guys follow the plan, everybody's on the same page. It's a lot easier to play out there.
Well, yeah. You're talking about taking inspiration from the Eagles and the win and the Super Bowl victory and the parade and everything. And one thing, all the players that we've talked to, they were consistent in their takeaway, which was that they just continued having fun, enjoying the game and playing it, and not overstressing, overthinking things right through to the actual Super Bowl itself with the plays that were called. And let's go for it. Let's have fun. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. And it seems, as you were saying, that's the vibe you guys have now, and it's working.
Yeah. We have the confidence right now. And we have a lot of tough matchups coming up, and it's going to be a good test to see where we stand. But I know, like you said, it's I don't know what it was about that going on the street and kind of hanging out with the fans and enjoying a big win. And I don't remember last time I cheered for a football game like that. I was fist pumping and everything, high fiving everybody around, and it was a good time.
That's great.
Speaking about cheering, me as a fan last week or so, you guys were playing the Rangers up in New York, and my God, was that an exciting game! I came in at the end of the first period, and it was 3-3, so six goals and three fights in the first period of the game.
Yeah.
And I've never seen two teams be more offensively aggressive in a game. You guys were just letting each other have it. It had to have felt so good. I mean, you guys are just answering back and forth one after the other. Was that one of the more exciting games of the year?
Yeah, I think the first period was I remember we came in the room after the first, and we're like, that was pretty crazy. But, you know, we were not very successful in New York the last few years, and they were not playing some good hockey either at that time. And, you know, we both teams just wanted to win that game pretty bad, so it was a fun game.
And for a stretch there, you didn't have a backup goaltender either. There was a lot of, because Norvin had been taken out, or he was injured, and then you had Lyon in, and there was nobody. They were actually calling people to make it there in time to suit up just in case you had had a backup goalie. Has that ever happened before in your career?
Happened a couple times that a goalie would get hurt early, and then the other goalie, sometimes we get like a little injury, and then it's right away, it's panic button. It's like, what do we do now?
So they it's, they pick up the phone, they start calling people, don't they?
Yeah, I think there's a backup goalie for both teams that is at every game. So we have every team has a backup plan, but it's it's not really the backup plan that you wanna have.
No, you don't want to have to use the backup plan.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, honestly, who on the team would. Because in, like, football, you were like, okay, well, this wide receiver played quarterback in college, so we'll just he'll be the quarterback. Is there anybody on the team that would put on the pads?
If I had to guess, I think Radko Gudas. I think he would really, really enjoy it. I would definitely not stack up the pads. Terrible goalie. So,
it's dangerous. Yeah.
Hey,
so, you're pretty... You're well protected, but still, those pucks are pretty hard, and I don't know.
No one wants that.
You should suit up Derek Settlemyer. Finally, make him get out there and bleed for a little bit.
Yeah, I had to. Hey, I thought he was going to react to that there.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm sure you watched the Super Bowl speeches, and I'm sure you saw Jason Kelce's speech. If you had to pick one person in the locker room that would be the Jason Kelce of the Philadelphia Flyers, who do you think that would be?
Well, that's a really easy one. I think Jake Voracek. He's a guy that really speaks what he thinks, and I'm sure after a few beers, he'd get out there and feel what he thinks. So,
wait, you think he would drink during a celebration like that? Is that possible?
Oh, if we win the cup.
Yeah.
But that was an awesome speech. You know, he's a good character, Jason Kelce, and he's a fun guy to be around. And, you know, a lot of people in Philly really enjoyed that speech.
Yeah.
It's funny because Marissa and I went to practice years ago, and it was maybe even before the season started, and we met for the first time Jake Voracek. And he was really shy. He was relatively new to the team. He was still relatively new to the country, to be honest. And his English wasn't that great. And over the last years, kind of like you, Claude, he's gotten much better at speaking English, much more comfortable in front of the camera, much more comfortable in front of the microphone. And the other night after one of the wins, he said, you guys are gunning for first place. And much like you said, you want to win the cup. He said, no, we want first place in the division. We want to win the Metro. We want to come, you know, be on top at the end of the season. So to see him mature over these years and become a leader in the clubhouse from a fan's perspective is really cool and fun to watch his evolution.
Yeah, of course. Jake is one of the leaders. He's been here for, I want to say around 6 years, 7 years. And, he's a big piece to our team. And, he's got a big voice in the locker room. Guys respect him. And, he's a great teammate.
Yep, he's doing great. 69 points as of most recently. So you guys are doing well, man. It's real exciting to watch right now, Claude. So just you know what you're doing. Just keep it up, and we'll keep hanging in there. You got Carolina tomorrow night, 7 o'clock here in Philly, which is cool. So we just wanted to check in with you, man, and say we're loving what you're doing. So keep rocking out. All right, brother.
All right, perfect, guys. Thanks a lot for having me again.
All right, you got it, man. Claude Giroux, guys.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
Absolutely. And from what I understand, I got some tickets to see them play the game tomorrow night.
Tomorrow.
Uh-huh. And let's take caller 28.
There we go.
That's Claude's number, 215-263-WMMR, and we will set you up with those tickets. You can fly like the Flyers.
You know, he came to Camp Out for Hunger in the middle of that 10-game losing streak.
Yes, he did.
And he came on now when they've
you know, won 10 or 12, or gotten points 12 in a row, I think, and haven't lost. They had one regulation loss in all of February. So that guy, he walks the walk and talks the talk. And,
yeah.
And we're appreciative of the friendship.
Absolutely. Especially when they were going through that losing streak. Nobody wants to talk.
Yeah. Who does?
Understandably so. And he had, you know, he honored it and he came out and it did not have to do it. In fact, may have gotten in a little bit of trouble because he did it, because they were telling everybody to be kind of quiet. You know, Casey, it's funny, man. You mentioned the ins and outs of the game of hockey. And, you know, while I know the penalties and I know the standard play of game, the way that they play as opposed to, like, football, which will have very specific plays and we're going to run this play or we got to, you know, a nickel, you know,
defense, isn't that physical? Yeah, like that.
You watch these. It's so confusing as to what each player does. You know, when they dump it in the corner and then they go into this rotating, circulating mode. How can they know where the other is going to be at a certain time? It's amazing. And a lot of times when we watch on television, you're missing kind of half of it because the defenders hang back, mm-hmm. but they're doing stuff as well to get themselves in the right position, you know?
I've been a fan my whole life. I still don't know why some teams win the Stanley Cup and others don't. There's skill, there's speed, there's strength, and there are certain intangibles, but they're, like you mentioned in the interview, Preston, teams get hot,
yep.
they ride a hot goalie, whatever the case may be, but it seems to me to be luck some of the time. I don't know, you know, but I'm really enjoying this team right now.
Well, I think in any sport, there's a certain element of luck, but sure. You know, it's just wrapped in a ton of skill. And I'm still amazed at what they're able to do in a 50-second shift. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, 'cause, like, you know, the pace of the game and you know, like you said, Press, like, with football, like, you stop. All right, let's collect ourselves. Okay, we're going to call this play. We're going to call this personnel in. And then the defense goes, okay, well, they got two tight ends. And okay, well, we're going to call this defense in. And then boom, all right, ready, go. And then they stop, and then they do it all over again. But hockey is just this perpetual motion.
Constant.
Yeah.
On skates.
On skates.
Yeah. On skates.
On ice.
And in a hardware store. We're crying out loud. We have a couple of minutes, right? Can we go into something else, or should we take a break?
Yeah, a couple.
I can take a break.
We can take a break.
All right, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
I have other things that we need to get to.
You know what?
What?
Let's take a break.
All right.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I want to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast and hosting our 12th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. It's this Friday, JFBB, where the snow comes first. Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers. Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Steve, when is the furball event that you're part in?
It's not this Saturday, but the following Saturday.
Okay.
So it is the, believe it or not, it's the 21st annual furball. It's March 10th. And I did it last year. I was at the Seaport Museum, and it was a blast. So it benefits the Morris Animal Refuge. And thanks for asking, Preston. It's the Morris Animal Refuge is the first animal refuge ever in the country. Okay. And they do phenomenal work. I've said it before. If you have a sick hippo and you leave it at the doorstep of Morris Animal, they'll take care of it, and they've interceded so many times with other organizations. So this is a fundraiser for what they do, and it's a critical thing that they do. But it's also one of those charities, and you know, Preston, your wife puts together this charity that you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
The event has to sell it as well,
mm-hmm.
and so the Seaport Museum one last year was great. This year, it's called Havana Nights, and so they're sort of recreating a Cuban-type flavor. And they're doing it at a place that I've always wanted to visit called the Simeone Foundation Auto Museum. So they're going to have classic 50s cars to walk around and check on and see. Plus, the food is going to be incredible. There's all sorts of pets to pet. Last year, Angela Profeta and a whole squadron of her friends showed up and
Ooh.
Had a great, yes, that alone. But it's that kind of thing. So it's cocktail attire. It's you don't have to get ultra dressed up for it. But the information is on PrestonandSteve.com. It's Havana Nights. I'm going to be your MC for the evening, doing a lot of auction stuff and things of that nature. The tickets are a little pricier, but you're getting a whole evening of food and bar, open bar and stuff like that. There are different iterations of it. It goes to a great cause. But also remember this, I'll look like a dick if no one comes. So if you can help me out, that'd be really good. So again, all the information, it's Havana Nights, it's the Fur Ball benefiting the Morris Animal Refuge, and all the information is up on PrestonSteve.com.
Cool, man. Excellent. I saw this article. Did you send me this, Steve, about what's called Snapchat dysmorphia?
Yes, and we were kind of talking about this, Preston. I think maybe you brought up this notion a while ago about people now are so used to using these filters on their pictures that they post that they're now wanting to look that way.
Yeah, they're now wanting to look that way. In fact, what they're doing is the plastic surgeons are seeing more and more people bringing in their Snapchat and Instagram filtered faces.
Oh my gosh.
And going, I want to look like this.
This makes me angry.
Yeah.
And worried.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking. It's also not really possible because, like, if you're going to go in for,
I want deer ears.
But if you're going to go in for a nose job, like you have one little thing about your nose that you know you say you don't like, can you take it? No, it's like a full on reconstruction, and they can't just go in and like remove one little piece.
Well, this series that we're all in love with, this Black Mirror, this is right out of that. But I mean, I know people now that I've sort of forgotten what they look like because I haven't seen them post anything but filtered pictures in a long time.
Yeah.
But like, you know, listen, my daughter is in sixth grade and she's been asking to get a Snapchat account.
Yeah.
And it seems like she comes up with a new plot, a new way to ask every week or whatever. And we don't allow it. And I'm, you know, hearing this, I'm glad. I'm glad we don't allow it. And listen, I don't look down on other parents who allow their children, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth graders to be on Instagram or Snapchat. We just have chosen not to allow that because this is one of many.
Pornhub should be enough.
Yeah, I agree, Steve.
We're the same way, Case. One doctor has referred to this phenomenon as Snapchat dysmorphia. And you know what? It's so plainly obvious on a lot of them. I mean, it's just, you know, wow, you really washed away everything on your face.
It looks like one like solid, you can't even see like the contours in the face. Mannequin.
When they first started to appear and you'd say, what? I never realized her eyes were that big. You know, and then eventually you'll see a unicorn horn and you go, oh, okay, this is a filter. But people get so used to looking that way and it's seductive. And Preston, I think I sent you another article about a guy who's addicted to selfie, literally addicted to selfie.
I didn't get a chance to look at that.
But that one, I think one leads into the other because you just don't look as good as you do with a Snapchat filter.
Yeah, but you know what? There's a lot you can do with makeup, right?
Your hair's blue.
I'm glad you said it because it would have sounded a little pompous coming from myself. But there's a one woman in particular that my wife follows on Instagram who...
the cat woman.
Without makeup, she kind of has like a pale and splotchy skin.
Yeah.
And she is an artist and she does these tutorials on how to get this look and she does a really nice job. And you know, I'm okay with that. I'm totally fine. Not that my opinion even matters, but
well, it does matter, goddammit.
It matters to me.
It matters.
They stated in this article before the days of Snapchat and Instagram, altered photos were typically reserved for celebrities. And models and ads and magazines and stuff like that. And we knew that those images were edited. But a lot of times you just think, wow, that person is stunningly beautiful. But now, obviously, social media has changed all that. And the majority of individuals who undergo cosmetic procedures are women, which makes makes sense considering the constant pressure they feel to live up to, you know, the beauty standards and all of that other stuff. So a lot of it is women. We're looking at pictures right now. I don't know who that is.
You have Jennifer Lopez, it looks like, or maybe Kim Kardashian. Maybe, I'm not sure. And then you have Kylie Jenner.
Kylie, okay.
Speaking of which, there's a picture I saved. I didn't get this in entertainment news of Kim on the cover of Vogue India, I believe.
That's the one I get. I get Vogue India because I like my curry recipes.
Listen, I would not have known that this was her if you would have showed me. Kathy, look at this. If you would have told me who is that, I would not have said that's Kim Kardashian.
Oh, you have to stop and look.
I can't even tell that that's her.
If you want to see a transformation, have you seen Khloe lately?
No.
Good apparently, or bad? Rubbing your ass on a tree does wonders.
Okay.
Because, well, actually, in a way, Nick, you talk about being mad. She's changed herself so dramatically that it's, and it, you know, I don't care. You can say you're dieting and you're using a different lip gloss, but there's been, the Army Corps of Engineers came in on this.
Yeah, it's cheating, essentially, you know, and well, it's cheating because they have money.
To that point. When you lavish praise on the looks of a Kylie Jenner, who's getting that praise? The team of surgeons?
Yeah. It's like cheering for Mark McGwire for hitting 70 home runs. Who hit the home runs? Mark McGwire or the steroids?
Yeah, some people don't care. And you know,
I know.
It's yeah. It also, you know, with the filters, with just makeup. Like, what if your, you know, your girlfriend or wife looks amazing in makeup, but... You know, just so without it. That's, like, that's well, why what does
I,
it matter?
I skipped the penile implant because I figured it's what God gave me here and I'm going to work with it.
Wait, you've got to see. So I took a picture with a friend not that long ago and she said, send me the picture. And she goes, I'm going to post it. I said, no, I don't want you to post it. I don't like the way I look in it. So she edited it and then sent it back to me and was like, is this okay? And I'm like, are you kidding
me?
Let me
see. Really?
Let me do a side-by-side. I'm going to make a side-by-side so all I can show
right.
it to you guys.
All right. There's the show on Amazon, the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and her character is just so beautiful. But her husband has never... ever seen her without makeup. So they show her, like, you know, she has this perfect day. She kisses her husband goodnight. She waits to hear him fall asleep and snore. And then she goes in, you know, into the bathroom. She curls her hair and she does all this stuff. She sets the alarm a half hour before he wakes up, does her makeup. So every time he sees her, she's...
I bet you this is very common.
Yeah.
I bet you... I don't want to say I know for a fact, but I believe I've talked to other women who've said they do a similar thing. Their husbands have no idea what they look like sans makeup.
That blows me away.
Yeah. Right?
I have a friend who's, she's a friend of a friend. Her pre-work routine, Steve, this is getting up and getting into work, and she would never show up without having done this, was an hour and a half. Hair, makeup, the whole nine, and nobody at her work had ever seen her, has ever seen
it's
her.
It's wild, Nick.
Without, like, being fully done up.
Listen, we have wonderful women who help out with the calendar every year, and it's a wonderful thing that we do, and it's the main tchotchke we give away for the Camp Out for Hunger, and it generates a lot of good. But I remember one time, and this girl, I'm not going to say her name, but she was attractive to begin with, but she came in like base.
Which
like,
is well, what they're supposed to
that's
do.
That's what they're supposed right. to yeah. do.
And then and I'm not saying, but the transformation.
I remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. The transformation was like.
It was.
What?
Miraculous.
Yeah. Miraculous.
I remember the same thing. I'm like, oh my God.
I didn't recognize
her. Oh my God, she's going to be in the calendar. And then ended up, oh my God.
We have
God,
made a
yeah.
stunning.
I don't know who you're talking about. But Steve, you
I'll
take what time do you take the rollers out of your hair in the morning?
See, the problem is I'm actually putting rollers into my scalp, and that's more elaborate. So I have to, when you see my, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, really.
Oh.
I thought you were talking about somebody. I'll write mine.
you write yours down.
Hey, let me ask you guys a sort of a general question. Do you know, and I don't mean this to stereotype at all, but I don't know many men, unless they're gay, who do any Snapchat filters or care about touching up photos before they're posted.
I do?
In fact, you know straight guys like this?
In fact, there is... the article that I sent over, there's a guy who, I think he's straight, but that... It's now made that more common to the amount of guys who are purchasing cosmetics is now.
No, he means filter.
But I'm saying
in conjunction with that. Okay.
The filter phenomenon yeah. mm-hmm. has caused guys to consider.
I'm not on Snapchat, so I don't really even know. Okay.
These are bad pictures of both.
But I am.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
On Instagram, the only person that I follow that would be worth any, like, I don't know, makeup or filters would be that Jason Morgan guy.
He's a model. Yeah.
And he went to O'Hara. And I don't know if I got to see this picture.
So in this picture, which Kathy did a side-by-side, Kathy's head looks like it's been put in a wine press.
All right, so I want to tell you what she did, okay? So first of all, she made me skinnier. She then, like, chiseled my jaw a little bit.
Yes, she
did. And she put
a
full face makeup on. I had no makeup on at the part we went to. It was a kid's skating party.
Here's the liability, Kathy. When you say, I don't like that picture, I'll touch that up. What if they touch up the thing you think doesn't? I corrected your nose.
All right.
Yeah. Wasn't my nose.
Hold on. And then look in the picture. Look how it distorted my hand. It looks like I have a tiny little hand.
I'm your friend.
Yeah, well, so from this
I'm like,
she's a groundskeeper at a golf club.
You like cut off my jaw.
That's, you know, it's so funny.
You're Bill Murray in Caddyshack.
This is a touched up picture of Kathy.
I mean, it is really difficult to post pictures that your spouse is in. My because what I think is fine, she does not. You know what I mean? Like, well, she'll key in on things that I'm like,
yeah.
And so that's, I mean, it's kind of funny. It's like, all right, this is how, you know, you see yourself, but this is how I see you. And this picture, you look perfect.
My wife there's like pictures of her as a kid. I love them. I think she's adorable. It makes my heart, you know, right? Because there are pictures she can't stand that I know exactly what you're talking about. Because I love it because it captures the essence of what I love
about
her.
So now, like,
when she hates them.
If we're out somewhere, like a wedding or whatever, and we're both dressed up, we both look nice or whatever, I'll take the pictures. But then I just send them all to her because I'm like, I'm not going to post the right one. So here are all the pictures that I took, and you post the ones that you like.
Don't fight a losing battle.
Yeah.
Well, that was like when I took this picture, she said, oh, it's a cute picture of us. I'm going to post it. I said, no, I don't like it. So then she took it upon herself to fix it, or what she thought.
I corrected your overbite. I don't have an overbite. What are you saying, you bitch?
I will admit that I do think that ladies look better with makeup on. When they're done up, I think it's attractive. No, not filters.
Yeah,
I'm talking about in person. Somebody's, you know, it looks good, especially if you know how to put makeup on. You know, there's some people who don't know how to do it.
But also that fresh, you know, listen, that's why you dye yourself up a bit. You know, that's why I always prefer, have a little bit of foundation and mascara on. Right. It's my thing.
I do prefer subtle makeup, like Kathy and Marissa both. I assume you guys put makeup on in the morning.
This is natural.
Sure it is.
You see her putting makeup on.
I watch her put makeup on every day. No, you can overdo it. Mm-hmm. And then once you that I do not like. I don't like too much makeup on a girl. But
looking like a hoe.
Yeah. Hang on. Let me go to, I have John on the phone. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up?
Hey, so I went to a shore house with some friends, myself and my wife and a bunch of other couples. And we've known them for a while. And we, you know, spent the day together, and then we went to bed. And then the next night, or the next morning, I woke up, and there was a woman sitting in one of the chairs, and she was wearing nightwear. And I didn't recognize her. I literally wasn't sure who she was, and it was very confusing. And she started talking to me, and it was about 30 seconds to a minute in where I recognized her voice. And I realized she was one of the wives of the couples that we were with.
From the night before.
And, oh, my gosh.
So you were seeing without makeup.
Without makeup. I literally did not recognize her. She was unrecognizable. I could not have pulled her out of a lineup.
It's amazing what sort of transformation can take. And I don't want to sound, you know, because listen, I know what I see in the mirror every day. I'm a disaster.
Thank you, John.
It's not even about the quality of looks. It's about the transformation that can take place.
Casey started to write something down before he even wrote down what it was. I know what it was going to be.
What is
it? We worked at
Y100. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, at the beach house? Yeah. Oh, my God.
There's a guy, we're not going to say who it was.
Great guy.
Whose wife was there, and a lot of us on the staff spent the night, and she got up. We got up together. Exactly.
I actually...
Oh, my God. All the makeup...
Preston, I reached for a baseball bat.
Dear Lord.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Who let that vagrant in here?
It came out of the sea. They're finally here.
You guys are so mean.
It came out of the ocean. I mean...
Is it who I think it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God. And again, we freely admit we're horrible-looking people.
Kathy.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was beautiful on the inside.
Oh, my God.
No one's that beautiful.
Here, real quick, before you... Kathy's got something to say, but Nick got this tweet. It says, I've been with my husband for 13 years, up until 2 years ago, after a lot of conversations and support, I started to let my husband see me without makeup.
There you go.
Even when we went swimming, I wore waterproof makeup and then touch up after I got out.
It took 11 years of a relationship. And this girl who tweeted at me is beautiful.
She is.
Yeah.
And I just...
I don't know. We don't see her with her makeup on, though.
You're right.
Without her makeup
she's on. Probably hideous. No, I'm kidding.
She's gorgeous. Know what? She makes her... You build it up. Besides that, my wife always points out that, like, on TV shows... Women wake up with full makeup on.
They look beautiful.
This is this bizarre false paradigm.
Their hair looks good. I have a friend just like that. That's what I was going to say. I don't know if her husband sees her without makeup or not. That I would assume. But she won't step foot outside of the house without full face makeup. I mean, we would go to the pool, to the beach, whatever it was, and we would have to wait for her to completely finish her makeup.
Does she say, I have to put my face on? Is that the phrase? Yeah.
Yeah. And she won't go anywhere.
I remember a guy who, when I was doing stand-up comedy, this guy, a funny guy, good comedian, he wouldn't go out to 7-Eleven for coffee without putting on, like, TV makeup. Like
a guy?
A guy. Now, mind you, he wasn't. You know, gay or whatever the perception is.
Did he have bad skin or anything along those lines?
He wanted to max him because he felt whenever he was out there, when it was out and about, it was a potential for him to be out in public, and he was building an image, and that was part of the deal.
I could maybe understand if, like, you know, you had some skin that that didn't look great, or
acne,
you know,
or something.
Acne or whatever it might be that you were self-conscious about, and you're like, all right, let me just touch this up. You know, I can understand that.
There's no, like, I, you know.
But giving yourself smoky eyes. Okay. To each his own.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me go to Scott. Hey, Scott, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, so I started dating this girl who was a makeup artist. She was absolutely stunning. She used to get asked out by, like, Sixers and pro football players and stuff. And we dated for a while. I never saw her without makeup. And then one morning, she video called me, and I woke up and kind of opened my eyes slowly, and I looked over, and I went, whoa! And she was like, what? And I was like, oh, hey. And she's like, that's mean. I literally, for the first time, I felt like I had met somebody new and had no idea.
And you literally said, whoa!
I did. I literally, nice. And it was like, it was one of those like, whoa, what's going on? You know, and she knew right away. She was like,
that's horrible.
Mean.
Well, and she was an artist. It's what she did. So she was really good at it then. You had no idea.
She's amazing. I mean, she still is. She's amazing at it. But it's like, I eventually broke up with her because it was like, I now saw who she really, and I know that.
See, that's superficial.
That's
see, now that it's, yeah, that, and you even know that's bad.
Well, what if I wore a mask and then
I mean, that's true. That's the real person.
Yeah, all right, thanks.
You know, but guys, we get away with that. On the whole, now more and more guys are, as I said before, the cosmetics industry is reacting to guys who are now becoming a big part of the purchasing. But on the whole, guys don't have to go through that whole crap, you know, that you guys do.
Some women just have that natural beauty.
You have a picture of Kathy.
I have a picture of Kathy that I keep here, and she woke up one morning just like,
do you know what she looks like in that
just
picture?
Looking hideous, and she took
a
selfie.
My hair was sticking up, of course, God. No makeup on.
You look like Chuck Wepner.
Yeah. But I remember that morning because I looked in the mirror and I'm like, I need to take a picture of this. And I held on to it for a long time and then eventually let you guys see it.
Should we take a group shot and do like a filter on it?
Edit us to make
it over.
Try and make us look as pretty as humanly possible.
Well, I did the app, the makeup app on myself, which is if you guys want to download it and do your, you can do your,
what is it?
Let me just.
Oh, you either put makeup on or it can take the makeup off.
Yeah, it's called the Make App.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you do it yourself, you put it in properly, you know, exact to make you look. I'd like to see what, like, Android-ish, you know, that smooth. Some people smooth it over so much. I look at it and it's actually a turn off. I'm like, that doesn't even look real.
It's not real. Yeah.
It's like that Uncanny Valley thing, you know. They're saying that these are having an effect on how people think they perceive. Or how they perceive the way they look, and they don't really look that way. Let me go to... I'm going to go to Matt here. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Good. You guys rock.
Thank you, Matt. What's up, bud?
Hey, what's going on? So, my wife's going to kill me for saying this out loud. So,
My wife was the matron of honor in her sister's wedding, and so she was already there. She got professional makeup done, and she got this stuff that covers all her arm tattoos, right? So I show up later, and I keep looking over at this chick who I think's checking me out, right? So I'm pretty pumped. So I look over, like, three or four times. For a half an hour, I had no idea it was my freaking wife.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So she's, like, this stuff's, like, she's Hispanic already, but then this cover-up's even tanner. She's fully tan. She's got her eyebrows professionally done and, like, full makeup. And I keep looking over. She's getting progressively mad that I'm not coming over to talk to this chick, right? Well, because it's my wife. So I flat out told her. I went over. I was like, I had no idea who you are. I thought you were some hot chick checking me out. Well, that made it worse. Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yes. Thought you were some hot chick.
If there was every, you took every opportunity to screw up.
Yes. Oh, totally. And I do this all the time. So I decided, you know, I'll just keep hitting the open bar all night and try to just.
Yeah, that'll fix it. Yeah. Let me get good and hammered. All right. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it. Hang on a second here. So Chris wants some advice.
All right.
All right. So Chris, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
What's up, buddy?
Okay, here's a slightly different subject. My wife is beautiful. She rarely wears makeup. Going out, you know, maybe a little eyeliner or something. But, you know, I've noticed lately maybe she could use a little help. How do you break it to her to give her suggestions?
Oh, good Lord.
You know, I would say this. Can you set the example by wearing some makeup yourself?
I could try that.
Yeah.
It might help. Yeah.
It might help.
Chris, I can't think of any way.
Nor can I.
To bring that up without hurting feelings.
Buy her a gift certificate to Sephora or something like that.
Well, one Christmas I did give her a makeup lesson.
You yourself or you purchased a professional?
I purchased a gift card for a makeup lesson, which I thought was a thoughtful gift. She didn't take it the wrong way.
Right, good.
But I kind of want to, you know, breach that subject again.
She's
beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Okay.
Really doesn't need makeup. Awesome. But
I have an idea, Chris. I mean, here, rather than just going out and buying her a $100 gift card to Ulta or something like that, why don't you say, hey, I just won this gift card at, like, a raffle or something like that, and then give it to her.
That's a possible.
Now you're lying.
No, yeah. No, yeah, yeah. Lie to her.
Lie.
Say, hey, I just happened to enter a makeup contest. I figured, why not? No, okay, go. You could use it.
Maybe a his and her spa day or something like that.
Yeah.
That could be part of it. I don't know.
Do you know what you know what you could do, honestly? But because, and as everyone said, you love her, you love the way she looks without the makeup, then that's that. But if you wanted to have her see it, perhaps get her a photo shoot. Sometimes you go and, you know, they'll pamper her. And like our friend Celeste, I know, does this sort of stuff where you do like
pin-up shots. That's it. Thank you.
Porn shots.
Yeah, and then you'll have something to put in the spank bank for later on when you're actually doing it with her.
Yeah, she'll see right through that.
Yeah.
I don't know, Chris. That's a tough one, man. I wish we had better advice.
Yeah.
All right, cheers, guys.
We're pussies.
All right, one last call. I'm going to go. Did I just call him Frank? Because I meant to go to this caller. This is Frank. Hi, Frank. Good morning.
Look at me, Ma. I'm on the radio.
Yes, you are.
You are.
What's up, Frank?
I wear makeup to look pretty.
To look pretty.
It started with like a FX makeup because I was really good at it.
Yeah.
And then I went, hey, why don't I take it a few steps further and just start? Well, I don't put on like lipstick.
No.
Little foundation, little sexy eyes.
Well, I'll tell you what, you are, whether you're kidding or not, there are a lot of guys. This article I read says that the cosmetics industry is tailoring a good portion of their product lines now for that. Not a guy who's going to put on eyeliner and Boy George it up, but a guy who's going to smooth over some things, as you said, Casey, cover over some imperfections, a little bit. But that's the new that's the new money grab.
I know a guy who gets his toenails done fairly regularly.
He's all man.
But
his blue hair down to his painted toenails.
His toes look amazing.
I will say, though, at some of the cosmetic stores, there's been an uptick in the men that work there. Not only the amount, the number of guys that work there, but that they're doing full-on makeup you know, just like a woman would. And whereas before it would just be a little bit, now it's, I mean, they're experimenting with different colors and styles and all that kind of stuff. But I've seen way more of that lately.
Makeup's not going to do it for me. I need spackle.
Mm. I'll see if I can find, we did a photo shoot one time when I was back in the 80s when I was in my band and we hired a makeup person, and oh my God, you guys think you've laughed at the pictures I've shown you before?
Really?
Oh my God.
Can you bring them in?
I don't know if I can find them. I'll look for them, but well, it's bad.
I found a photo of me dressed like a woman while moving, so I'll bring that in.
Okay, fair enough. I like it. All right, anyhow, but listen, don't go crazy with the filters, or it can give you a bit of a warped sense as to what you really look like, and it might give you a dysmorphia of sorts.
Because you are beautiful, no matter what you say.
But especially if they're overdone, it's a bit much. I don't like the overly filtered.
What about the 12-inch dog tongue? Is that a good addition, the filter?
It's kind of a turn-on.
It is a turn-on.
50 years of live music as captured by 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you so much for coming.
Introducing live from the MM Archives.
Welcome to the show.
Weekdays at 1:30, Pierre Robert presents one of our 50 favorite live songs captured live over the years from the MMR studios or during live broadcast from the Tower, Factory, and Ardmore Music Hall. We'll dig through the intimate fan experiences hosted by MMR from Sigma Sound, Grape Street, the Ripley and Bijou Cafe, and the Main Point.
Everybody ready to rock?
Yes! So,
we live for the rock.
Live from the MM Archives, daily at 1:30. Encores with Jackson at 5:30 and 9:30 with Jackie Bam Bam. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
I brought to you by the Philadelphia Flyers. Make your next Flyers game a Yingling night out. Starting at just $50, this offer gets you a game ticket, 24-ounce beer, and more. Shop now at philadelphiaflyers.com. This is pretty wild. I saw the picture of this. A cigarette-smoking man was caught on camera, crouched underneath a subway as it pulled into the station Monday, baffling onlookers in a video posted to Instagram.
It's crazy.
The man was caught on video jumping onto the tracks in front of a B train as it pulled into the station. The unidentified man then stuck his arm through the space between the train and the platform, cigarette still alight and in hand. I mean, up through there.
Yeah.
You just see a hand with a cigarette in it.
Between the platform and the train.
Yeah. The man appeared to be intoxicated.
Oh, okay.
And after climbing back out of the tracks, danced his way across the platform as FDNY officials approached him.
I just crawled under the train.
The man who posted the video told the New York Post that he was sure the man had been struck by the train. He said right before the train hit him, he ducked under the platform. Everyone turned away thinking that he was dead. It was terrible.
Oh, okay.
According to the article.
And I saved my cigarette.
The man was taken to Bellevue Hospital, but was not arrested. So it's pretty.
How do you not get arrested for that?
And it's a miracle that guy survived. Elvis Presley is officially running for a congressional seat in Arkansas.
That's right, man.
Yep.
I care.
Elvis D. Presley is filed to run as a Libertarian nominee, challenging Arkansas Republican Representative Rick Crawford. And he also happens to perform shows as the late superstar Elvis A. Presley. Presley has previously run for Arkansas governor, land commissioner, and the state legislature.
So is the name legitimately Elvis Presley, or is that his stage name?
I don't know, but it's got to be his name. Maybe it's his legal name.
Well, it has to be if he's going to run under that name, right?
Look out, man. Look at that. It's coming at you. You see that? It's called karate, man. And only two kinds of people know it. The Chinese and the king. One of them is me.
One of them is me.
We're looking at his picture here.
Oh,
he's rocking the whole Elvis thing.
Dude, these Elvis impersonators, they never look like Elvis. You know?
And Elvis had some points in time where he looked pretty bad. Even at the worst, these impersonators look much more horrific.
They look like Elvis impersonators.
Yeah. The rising floodwaters over the weekend in Kentucky may mean headaches for homeowners who live along the Salt River in Bullitt County. But to Robert Watkins, it means something else. Great fishing weather. Watkins is making waves on social media after his daughter posted pictures of the massive catfish he recently caught in his front yard.
That was wild.
Watkins lives in a home next to the Salt River Bridge, and the water level has risen so high that his yard is completely flooded. He said, anytime the river gets up here to where it's at, we'll go out. Me and my buddy of mine will go in it, and we'll set up limb lines. We'll hang lines out of the tree, and then we'll give it 4 or 5 hours and go back and run them and see what we got.
So the fishing's good. We lost Grandma, but the fishing's good.
He said, normally the Salt River is good for them big cats, and we'll do it every time the river gets up. And then he says the fish seen in the Facebook picture weighed in about 55 or 60 pounds.
But looking at a picture, the thing's freaking huge.
He said the scale we had wasn't no good. We had a 50-pound digital scale from Walmart, but it just maxed out. It wouldn't go no higher.
By the way, I have regular sex with my daughter.
Oh my God.
Wow. Did I say that out loud?
At the time of this writing, the fish was tied to his porch. Watkins says he'll
like a dog.
He'll likely, yeah, because it's water out there.
Yeah.
So Watkins,
that's my watch catfish.
He'll likely either give it to a friend who has a large pond to accommodate the catfish, or simply release it back into the water. He said, "We don't eat none of them big ones." And it's not the first time Watkins, who has lived there since 1964, has gone fishing in his yard. In 1973, he says the water level rose to the shutters of his home, and he caught an 80-pound catfish then.
I don't know if Elvis Presley is looking for a campaign manager, but I think he got one right here.
At any event, he says the 50-pound fish he caught this weekend is far from the record. He said in 2011, we got 16 of them in 3 days. That was bigger than that.
So, you know, with the obvious hepatitis and people dying in the flood, it's great fishing.
He said, we got him up to 85 pounds. Watkins said the only time that he can catch big catfish is during flooding periods like this. He said, them big fish won't stay up in here. He said, they go down to Fort Knox where it's deep and muddy. So when it floods, they come up here.
That's where they got all the gold.
Dude, I grew up around people like this.
Oh, yeah.
Because my whole family's from Kentucky, so I know exactly that type of person.
Did you ever go to Fort Knox?
Never been to Fort Knox. No.
You get great fishing when it floods.
That's right.
Yeah.
They head down to Fort Knox. Listen, we used to go to Kentucky Lake near Paducah a lot. England, out of England, an elderly man has been captured on video driving his mobility scooter on a 70-mile dual highway as cars sped past him. The man is filmed driving his electric scooter on the A4174 Ring Road near Longwell Green. A witness said that he urged the man to turn around and get off the highway, but he said that he was given a, quote, two-finger salute.
Oh, yeah.
This thing.
Yeah.
The video shows the
not
man...
The, No, their middle finger is the two fingers.
Is it? All right.
It's like a V with your palm facing towards yourself.
Oh.
So he said the video shows the man driving along the thin part of the road just off the carriageway as he is passing by vehicles at a high speed, including a large truck. Only certain types of mobility scooters are allowed on the road, but the government urges those not to drive them on dual highways with speed limits of over 50 miles an hour. Man has been accused of beating three women with a frying pan and killing one of them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The sheriff's office arrested James Isaiah Breen on Saturday. He faces one count of deliberate homicide and two counts of assault with a weapon. Law enforcement was first involved on February 8th when sheriff's office responded to an assault call. One of the victims told deputies that Breen had assaulted three women with a frying pan. Another woman had a bloody face, and the third woman was in and out of consciousness. The unconscious woman was taken to the hospital and put on life support.
Well, why the hell did he do that?
I don't know. But this makes you look at, like, Tangled a little bit differently, Casey.
Yeah, yeah.
Frying pans are used quite a bit in that. But that woman died there Saturday night. He had told police that he was swinging the frying pan, but he denied hitting anyone.
I was just swinging it.
He's scheduled to appear in district court on the charges, and we're out of time, so we're gonna have to wrap up there. Yeah, that's a bad one to end on. Sorry about that.
Whether social,
hey, welcome in,
or anti-social,
hey, get out.
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, what you got in store for us today?
Well, medical examiner is confirming that a very drunken Heather Locklear was attempting to bite her boyfriend's nose off when she was arrested for domestic violence Sunday night. Locklear denies the claim, saying she was simply attempting a home remedy to cure his sleep apnea.
That's how it works. Oh, my God.
Barbra Streisand saying the two dogs she has now, get this, were actually cloned from her previous dog named Samantha just before she died in 2017. Streisand says the dogs are perfectly normal, even though they did kill and eat her husband, James Brolin.
So. Hey!
And finally, Tyler Perry. This is amazing. Building a massive estate near his studio in Georgia, which features a 35,000-square-foot home on 1,200 acres of land. Perry says that despite its size, the estate will be perfectly livable, noting that there are daily flights to his mailbox. And that's your Hollywood trash.
All right. Thank you, Steve. I was watching TMZ yesterday. They had the footage of that house. And I think it's the one that was owned by the evangelical preacher guy.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, beforehand. It's just, you can't even begin to imagine how massive this
35,000
is.
35,000 square feet and 1,200 acres of land.
Unbelievable. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to this question. Noted marijuana smoker Charlize Theron starred in which documentary in which she met a gorilla in the jungle? 215-263 WMMR. And it is Joel who we will go to. Hey, Joel.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? All right, so Joel, do me a favor. What documentary was Charlize Theron that she met a gorilla in the jungle?
Mighty Joe Young.
Yes. Hang on, Joel. We are going to give you tickets to see The Femmes of Rock, starring Bella Electric Strings, Sunday, March 18th, at the brand new Excite Center at Parks Casino, performing the music of Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, Pink Floyd, and much more. Tickets start at just $25. On sale now, ParksCasino.com. Must be 21 or older to win. Let's do the music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! What the f*** is that? All right, this is brought to you by Victory Brewing Company. If you are headed up to the Cardboard Classic tomorrow night, going up there like we will tomorrow evening, join Victory Brewing at Shenanigans and enjoy their homegrown lager, Forefront IPA, and Golden Monkey. The party starts at 7:30. Music by The Mighty Three at 9 p.m. Original Guns N' Roses guitarist Izzy Stradlin came close to joining the band's Not In This Lifetime reunion tour on at least one stop, according to one-time Guns manager Alan Niven. Stradlin allegedly showed up for a soundcheck rehearsal in Nashville, but things fell apart at the last minute. Original drummer Steven Adler was there as well, and he did play. If Stradlin had performed, it would have been the first time the Founding Guns lineup played together in 26 years. Niven explained in the Appetite for Distortion podcast, obviously, had it gone well and everybody had been happy and there had been a little bit of brotherhood, I'm sure he would have stayed with it. But something must have really upset him because he left after the sound check, never turned up for another one or an appearance. And I would think right now he's probably a little pissed off. Stradlin has mostly avoided commenting publicly on his absence from the reunion lineup, only claiming in one since-deleted tweet that the band, quote, didn't want to split the loot equally.
Yeah, so you figure that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Muse has revealed that the band is in the process of assembling a vinyl box set, Origin of Muse, that will collect early material, including unreleased songs and demos, as well as photos and videos. The package will cover the era from the trio's formation through its first two albums, 1999 Showbiz and 2001's Origin of Symmetry. Speaking on Beats 1, the band members admitted that the set was still in progress, with drummer Dominic Howard saying there were some really early versions of some of the Showbiz tracks and really early version of Plug In Baby, which is actually quite an old song and it didn't make the first album. He said there was just some really old live recordings that we found as well from the early days.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm getting tired, dude. We're still just debating whether they're actually listenable or not. And I think it will eventually happen. And it's a big old wormhole of old footage and music and cuttings and ridiculous pictures of us at school and stuff, he says. Showtime is developing a documentary about Stone Temple Pilots.
Well, what do you know?
Yeah, Kent Sevener, Showtime's executive VP of content, acquisition, and business and legal affairs, revealed the existence of the project in an interview with Broadcasting Cable, promising a compelling story and explaining that not a lot has been done, not a lot has been done about the band, meaning any project, video project.
Have you seen the Eric Clapton documentary?
No, but I wanted to.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. He liked drugs for a while there, Preston.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It nearly killed him.
But these, I love these extended documentaries and these, you know, because now there's more stuff available, more video, more archival footage that they're finding, and it's making it very cool.
Yeah, Sevener did not indicate when the documentary would air or if footage has already been compiled for it. And STP will release their self-titled seventh album March 16th, and of course, May 19th, they'll be at the MMR.
I missed the Behind the Music series.
Yeah, it was really, really good. After a 55-year run, the Rolling Stones' Charlie Watts wouldn't be heartbroken if the band finally called it quits. During a new interview with The Guardian, the 76-year-old drummer spoke frankly about life after the Stones, admitting, "I love playing the drums, and I love playing with Mick and Keith and Ronnie, and I don't know about the rest of it." He said, "It wouldn't bother me if the Rolling Stones said, that's it, enough. I don't know what I would do if I stopped." Keith is a great one for saying, "Once you're going, keep going. The big worry for me is being well enough. We don't work like we used to, unfortunately. There are huge gaps between each show, so they do that now." Watts said, above all else, he would want the Stones to end as close friends. "I wouldn't hate to dissolve, not amicably. I would like Mick to say, or me or Keith or whoever, I don't want to do it anymore for whatever reason, and we
just stay friends.
And we just say, that's it." "I wouldn't want it to be an argument or whatever." So he's okay with it wrapping up in the very near future.
Well, speaking of documentaries, I watched Crossfire Hurricane over the weekend.
Yeah.
I think that's one of Scorsese's.
I
think he did more than one. But anyway, it's a lot of early career stuff. And when you think about it, like, that early stuff was 50, 55 years ago.
Yeah.
That's,
you know,
that's
a lifetime ago.
It's incredible when you look at, like, Top of the Pops and stuff like that. And holy hell.
They do a lot with
decades ago.
And they do a lot with Brian Jones and his contribution. And he's been dead for 50 years.
Wow.
That's
funny.
Pretty startling. Yeah.
I think it's his birthday today.
Is it Brian Jones' birthday today?
I didn't
get you anything.
Well, he's been dead for 50 years.
Who are you? Hey, I'm off the hook. Who are you?
I love
Charlie Watts.
I love Mick saying, "Who are you?"
I thought you were dead.
Yeah.
Charlie Watts, man.
Yeah, he looks old. He had a big heroin problem, too.
Yeah.
He went through that.
But you couldn't tell.
When did he die?
He died in 1969. Yeah, today he would have been 76 today. Wow.
And Jagger's current girlfriend is 26.
She's younger than his granddaughter.
Ugh.
Younger than his granddaughter.
Let that sink in.
Yeah.
She's young. So the dump he took this morning probably started forming before she was born.
It very well could have.
That's to put it in perspective.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Seether. Dreamers.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
That would be from an awesome album called 1984. Van Halen and Panama. What?
I was just listening to that album last week because my son's friend is big into Van Halen now because his dad's into Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Tim Duffy. So I said, all right, well, let's take a little journey. And so I introduced him to Van Halen the same way I was with 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they were, you know, well established before then, but, you know, I was only 9 years old. And
did they respond favorably?
Yeah. So you start with, with the song 1984 in that album, which is all synthesizer and spacey and cool sounding. And then you go into Jump. And,
yeah.
And that was the first song I had ever heard from the band.
Huh.
And it was big on Friday Night Video Fights. It won.
My God, Friday Night Video Fights.
Yeah. It was a big one. That and The Reflex by Duran Duran were like, were champions for weeks and weeks and weeks.
That record, to me, on a personal level, it's perfect from beginning to end, 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Just every single song on that album, there's not a stinker in the lot. So that's a good one to turn someone on to. I've told you before, I had somebody, one time my best friend Will, he and his son they're not in a rush. He's like, okay, what should I listen to? And I go, ooh. Hemispheres, man. And I picked the wrong album.
Oh, really?
To listen to. Yeah.
You need to indoctrinate.
They actually thought it was funny. And I'm like, oh, ow, that hurt. Yeah. That, you know, because it gets real, I don't know, intense. And it's the first song is like 20 minutes long. And I should have said you should listen to Moving Pictures, which
yes.
is Tom Sawyer and the Trees and Limelight and all the real digestible songs for those who don't have an ear for it yet.
Took your ears.
You have to be selective when you want to turn somebody onto a band, especially if they ask you to. You got to give them the stuff that is easier on the palate.
Yeah, most palatable, I think. Yeah, and that's why, like with Fish, I would go.
You like Metallica? You got to first start with the album they did with Lou Reed.
Oh my God!
What was that? It was called Lulu, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm. But Fish.
Fish. I mean, I would go with Farmhouse. Is Farmhouse my favorite album?
That's a great record.
It really is.
It's a great record, and I really don't care too much for Fish, but that's a really great album. That's Pierre making all the noise.
Cat
it.
Made its way into the studio.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
Bing dang.
Sending that one out to John Wick.
Tommy and what's the other one?
Richard.
Richard.
Richard and Tommy.
I got one the other day. I'm in Apollo 13.
Stop. That's great. Jim Lovell.
That's great, Jim Lovell.
That was good.
Nice.
And
now the joke is the joke.
Yeah, the joke is the joke.
Yeah.
And a couple other ones that I, but I'm gun shy.
Yeah, oh man.
I'm text shy.
I can understand. Hey, real quick, I want to thank Claude Giroux for being on the show this morning. G checked in. He had a big charity event last night for the Claude Giroux Foundation, his charity. So talked a little bit about that. Obviously, we talked about how great the Flyers are playing. So they are taking on Carolina tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Go to a Flyers game, man. So much fun. So it was cool to have him on. That's all the thank you stuff I need to do. So if we want to get the letter today, Pierre, if you're all set for that, we can do it. All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
E as in Earth.
All right, and don't forget that we have a four-pack of tickets for MMRBQ. 2018, Saturday, May 19th, BB&T Pavilion, part WMMR's 50th birthday concert series. And don't forget that tickets are just $35. Complete details at WMMR.com. All right, I misspoke, yes.
What?
Somebody texted in and I said the Trees when I said Moving Pictures. That's actually on Hemispheres, which is the album that I first mentioned. So I crossed those up. I think I was thinking of Red Barchetta when I said the Trees, which I don't know why I said that. But anyhow. I know my rush. You can suck a bag of D's, okay?
Hey, Nick, would you go with 10 for Pearl Jam? Would that be the one, or would you go Verses?
That's a great question. Probably
or
Verses.
Or ukulele songs.
Not ukulele songs. That's the one Pearl Jam / Eddie Vedder record that I actually don't even own.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but probably Verses, because, I mean, 10 was so impactful, but I think Verses, personally, I think that's their best album.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Just my own personal opinion.
But
I cannot name in every order the songs on that chronological.
No, but what about giving it to someone who has never really gotten into the band?
Maybe 10. I think 10.
Yeah.
10 still remains as my favorite Pearl Jam album. I love other stuff they've done, but it's still my favorite.
Yeah, I guess I get tired of the argument of, they haven't done anything since Verses. I'm like, well, then you're just not listening.
No. All right, Pierre, what about the Dead? What if you were to somebody who's not familiar or wants to like the Dead?
American Beauty.
American Beauty.
It's got Sugar Magnolia, Friend of the Devil, Box of Rain on there, mm-hmm. Candyman, some nice Ripple is on there. So that's what I go with that. For CSN, I'd go with their first album, their debut album with Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. And for Neil, is that So Far? I'm sorry, is that what well, is so far was Greatest Hits album. It was the Greatest Hits. Oh, yeah. See, I didn't know that. CSN, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, the picture of them on the couch in front of the old house.
Wasn't that Judy Collins' album. Home? Or
well,
was
no,
that?
It was just an old house that they went to and took the picture of them sitting on an old couch. And then they got the proofs back and they realized the order was, it was Graham, Stephen, and David instead of David, Stephen, and Graham. And so they went back the next day to film it, and the house had been torn down.
So
they left it as it was. And for Neil Young, I pick Harvest.
And another great one.
But Judy Collins is what Sweet Judy Blue Eyes is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
It's actually like three songs rolled into one
it's
that they did.
Several songs, yeah.
Kathy, Belinda Carlisle.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's right in front of you.
Yes, it is.
Her greatest hits, I guess.
What's in front of me? Yeah. I don't know. Bill gave me...
Hot Carl.
I can't read it.
Hot Carl.
Hot Carl is a great album.
Mad About You, Band of Gold. Babe. I need a...
Mad About You.
Mad About You.
I love how it's signed.
Mad About You.
Lost in Your Eyes.
Kathy has vinyl that's signed by Bill.
By B.
Yeah. Wow. Kathy, you and your hairbrush inspire me.
That has sat there for years.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
move it.
You need to change your area a little bit.
Oh, I'm not going to move my Refresher. Blender.
It's good luck.
Otherwise, it's a blank TV screen that doesn't work.
You have a blank monitor over there that doesn't do anything?
It doesn't work, no.
By request.
Do you want something over there?
No, I like my Belinda.
Okay.
You wouldn't like a hot plate?
We could work it out.
A picture of me?
Work something out.
I could add a picture of you, but I'm not taking Belinda down.
Okay.
Okay. So let's see what's coming up on your show today. I guess we could find out.
We'll have one last pair of tickets to go skiing with us at the Cardboard Classic. We will have Workforce Blocks of The Who for Roger Daltrey. His birthday's tomorrow. We're going to do it today. Speaking of Nick's band, we got Pearl Jam. We have a block I've been wanting to do for a while of The Pretenders. We'll have a vinyl cut. And the new feature we have started as of last Friday, which is great fun, live from the MM Archives, is picking of all of our live music, and there is an extraordinary amount of it, taking a selected song done anywhere from some club to some Spectrum stage to, you know, in your studios, in my studios, anywhere along the line. Any live track from the MM Archives, and we're selecting a different one every day. I roll it out at 1:30. Then Jackson does an encore at 5:30 for folks driving home, and then Jackie Bam Bam does it again at 9:30 at night.
I love it. And as you said, there's so much live music that's been generated at this station. It blows your mind.
Have you looked at what today's cut is, and could you give us a tease?
I haven't.
Okay, all right.
Yesterday was Bush. It was doing Glycerine. But, I mean, you guys alone, you've had Dropkick Murphys on. You've had some big acts on. I remember when the Struts came in, Cage the Elephant came in with you guys.
Yeah.
So you guys have had a number of heavy hitters.
Royal Blood.
Yeah.
God, we even had
Rusted
like,
Root.
Yeah, we've had Rusted Root. Colin Hay from
Men at Work.
Men at Work. We have James Taylor on one time.
Do you know what? One of my favorite performances.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did Carolina on My Mind.
He did two songs for us.
What?
Yeah.
Where?
It was on a T1 line. So he was.
Oh.
But he wasn't in the studio, but he was performing for us. Yes.
Where was I?
You were there.
And everywhere.
Here and I
Not
was
here,
there.
But you were there. Yeah.
Do you know what Preston and I would also hold up as one of my favorite performances? Modest Yahoo.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got an outstanding version of Melissa Etheridge singing Come to My Window when I did the morning show at 8:30 in the morning. And there's a high part in that song, and she belts it out.
Wow.
Just nails it. And we were playing her heavily at the time. We've got Sheryl Crow. We played that album when it first came out, and she does Leaving Las Vegas.
Wow.
And hits three of every five notes on it, and it really sounds great. Yeah. But, I mean, we've got such an extraordinary amount. I mean, we're doing 50 of these tracks for our 50th birthday, so it'll take us right up to April 29th. However, I think I'll do theme weeks in between now and then because we've got so much. We'll roll much more out than we even have.
Cool. Love it. All right, I'll take a moment to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Also brought to you by Valley Forge Convention and Visitors Board. Book a hotel room in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania this winter and get amazing deals at valleyforge.org/chill. And also brought to you by the Atlantic City Boat Show. Don't miss Atlantic City Boat Show, acboatshow.com. Tomorrow's program will include an in-studio visit from comedian Chris Porter, an in-studio visit from Mr. Tom Green.
Excellent.
And an in-studio visit from our good friend, Mr. Vi Sikahema. So we'll be chock full on tomorrow's program. And then we jump in our cars and we head up to the Poconos.
Boom!
Get ready for Jack Frost and the broadcast that will ensue on Friday. So that's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
You're killing me. You're ripping my heart out, man. You cannot cancel Cardboard Classic. You can't cancel it. Too many people invested time, energy, the joy on people's faces. Let's do the CBC. Let's do it.
Next message.
My mom always told me to look on the bright side of things. So while I'm stuck in this traffic for an hour, at least I get an extra hour. Let's depress this team.
Love you guys! Yay!
Next message.
This is for my friend Tom. I'm sorry you f***ed yourself at work this morning, but I hope your day gets better. Goodbye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.